people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben. Okay, so the Daily Wire has been all over the situation in Loudoun County, which has national implications because obviously it's going to be very important for this Virginia gubernatorial race. And should Terry McAuliffe lose the gubernatorial race in Virginia, basically that's the end of Joe Biden's agenda, because a bunch of moderate Democrats across the country are going to look at their seats and think, if Terry McAuliffe loses in relatively blue Virginia, that means that the American public are not happy with the agenda that we are currently pushing. And at that point, Joe Biden's agenda is basically dead until after the midterms, and probably beyond that, because the midterms don't look like they're shaping up well for him. So everyone is focusing in on Loudoun County. Our reporter Luke Rosiak over in Loudoun County has been doing an unbelievable job of uncovering the predations of the school board in Loudoun County and the Democratic Party infrastructure in places like Virginia and Loudoun County with regard to school boards. By the way, the kind of work that Luke is doing, that's really expensive and difficult work that can only happen because of our Daily Wire members. If you're already a member, thank you for making that happen, because honestly, your membership helped pay for Luke. But if you're not a member, you really should join up and help our reporters do the kind of work that Luke is doing. It's making a huge difference out there. Head on over to Daily Wire right now and grab a membership. Obviously, this has become a flashpoint because the National School Board Union came out and basically requested that the FBI and DOJ investigate people who are going to school board meetings and sounding off on how the school boards were not doing their job in terms of educating and protecting their kids. Well, the biggest story of the last couple of months came out via Luke a little bit earlier this week. That was the story surrounding a father who was made the face of the quote-unquote domestic terror movement by the national media. It turns out that that father was royally ticked off at one of these meetings, not because he was a domestic terrorist, but because, as it turns out, there's fairly good evidence, and he alleges that his daughter was raped in a public school bathroom by a bisexual boy wearing a skirt, and that the Loudoun County School Board refused to acknowledge that the sexual assault had even taken place, which might piss off even the best of us. And so this became a national story. Well, now it turns out there is even more. According to Luke Rosiak this morning, Loudoun County Public Schools did not record multiple known incidents of alleged sexual assault in schools dating back several years, despite a law that requires statistics about school safety incidents to be reported to the public, and which includes provisions holding school superintendents personally liable for violations, a Daily Wire review of public records found. After the Daily Wire raised the discrepancy with the Virginia Department of Education, the VDOE spokesman, Charles Pyle, said VDOE is reviewing the discipline, crime, and violence data submissions of Loudoun County Public Schools and is in communication with LCPS to determine whether the division's reporting is accurate and whether the division is in compliance with state and federal law. The same law could have implications for a Loudoun County superintendent or principal in the wake of a May 28th alleged sexual assault in a bathroom, an incident first reported by the Daily Wire on Monday. On June 22nd, Superintendent Scott Ziegler told the public, quote, "To my knowledge, we don't have any record of assaults occurring in our bathrooms. Virginia law requires that reports shall be made to the division superintendent and to the principal or his designee on all incidents involving sexual assault." The Daily Wire asked LCPS questions last week, including, quote, "Has Stone Bridge ever reported the May alleged sexual assault in any statistics or made anyone aware of it?" LCPS hid behind state law, with Director of Communications Joan Salgren replying, quote, "Any information related to student information is confidential under state and federal laws regarding student privacy. However, state law actually requires statistics on assault and other incidents in schools to be reported to the public in the form of annually updated statistics available on a public database called Safe Schools Information Resource, administered by the Virginia Department of Education." In other words, the school board and the school does not have to report to the public the name of the people involved, the juveniles involved, but they do have to report the numbers. LCPS reported to the state that Stonebridge had zero sexual assaults for the 2020 to 2021 school year, which includes May 28, 2021. Virginia law says the division superintendent shall annually report all such incidents to the DOE for the purpose of recording the frequency of such incidents on forms that shall be provided to the department and shall make such information available to the public. The issue with missing sex assault statistics in Loudoun is not limited to the latest case, raising the prospect that untold numbers of sexual assaults and other infractions have gone unreported. In October 2018, in a case that was widely reported by the media at the time, three football players at Tuscarora High were arrested and charged with sexual assault. A source told local media it's believed a younger player was held down by teammates who inserted objects into the victim in a locker room. A spokesperson for LCPS said at the time, the case will be subject to disciplinary action. The annual report for Tuscarora that year reported zero instances of sexual offenses against students. LCPS provided no response at all to the Daily Wire's questions about the reason for the zero figures despite having 2 days to do so. While the suspect in the May 28th alleged assault was not arrested until July 8th, following the conclusion of an investigation, police officers were present at the school that day, law enforcement was notified, and a police report was filed, though it was not clear who filed the report. Pyle, the state spokesman, said that the SSSR's mandatory reporting is not contingent on the filing of charges by law enforcement or subsequent convictions. In other words, if this was reported to the cops, that just means that it has to be reported in the stats. But it wasn't reported in the stats. Additionally, the safety stats for that school year were not due to the state until July 16th. And in the case of Tuscarora, the school year did not end until months after the incident and arrests, yet the district still reported zero and has for every single year since. On Wednesday, LCPS put out a statement. It did not send it to the Daily Wire. It said, quote, Loudoun County Sheriff's Office was contacted within minutes of receiving the initial report on May 28th. Once a matter has been reported to law enforcement, LCPS does not begin its investigation until law enforcement advises LCPS it has completed the criminal investigation. Furthermore, we can't discipline any student without following Title IX grievance processes. But an email from Stonebridge Principal Tim Flynn, which was sent to the entire community at 4:48 the day of the alleged rape, told students and parents that, quote, there was an incident in the main office area today that required the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office to dispatch deputies to Stonebridge. This corresponds to the story offered by Scott Smith, the victim's father, who said the police arrived because the school called them on him for making a scene about his impression it was not treating the incident seriously. So this is a disaster area for Loudoun County. If it turns out that the Loudoun County schools have not been reporting the stats on sexual assault to the public, just another indicator that when you have institutions that are very powerful, they have every incentive to cover up all of the bad things happening within those institutions. And this is true across institutions. People develop institutional loyalty when they work for those institutions. They don't want to report the bad stuff happening inside the institutions. And that's how you end up with children being put in danger. Now, for the left, they don't care, apparently, if those children are put in danger by the public schools. And there are a wide variety of cases in which teachers have made prey out of their students in public schools across the country. Those statistics are, in fact, somewhat available. It's a national story when it's the Catholic Church. It's not a national story when it turns out that it's the public school system, obviously, even though there are many, many more members of the public school system in the United States than there are members of the Catholic Church who are subject to priest predation. Okay, there's certainly an ideological component here. And meanwhile, the family of that girl who was allegedly raped in her school bathroom is now pursuing civil action against the Loudoun County Public Schools under Title IX. So there will, in fact, be a lawsuit. The parents of the young girl stated, quote, subsequent to the sexual assault on our daughter, Loudoun County Public Schools formalized the policy regarding restroom use that was easily exploitable by a potential sexual assailant because of poor planning and misguided policies. Loudoun schools failed to institute even minimal safeguards to protect students from sexual assault. The lawyer for the family says the conduct of Loudoun County schools and the Loudoun School Board directly resulted in the brutal rape of Smith's daughter at Stonebridge High. It only takes an instant to see how Loudoun County schools have adversely affected this family and have harmed their daughter. So all of this has resulted in some pretty bad news for Terry McAuliffe, who's running for governor of Virginia and who is completely in hock to the teachers unions in the state of Virginia. He was asked yesterday about whether parents should be in charge of education. And this, of course, remains a major issue. Right? Across the country, parents would like to be in charge of their children's education. Public schools are delegated your kids to educate them in the ways that you see fit. They're not delegated to the power to educate them solely as they see fit. Because, frankly, they are not qualified to do so nor empowered to do so. That is not the purpose of local public schools. And the federalization of the process has made this worse. It's created a massive disconnect between the bureaucrats who are supposed to educate your children and you. This is why, increasingly, parents are taking their kids out of the public schools, putting them in private schools, homeschooling them, trying to find charter schools, doing anything they can to remove the monopoly on indoctrination now provided by liberal teachers' unions and the state-run schooling system. And so Terry McAuliffe was asked about all of this because he had said in open debate with Glenn Youngkin in Virginia that parents essentially have no interest in the education of their kids. It's really the state's job to educate the kids. Here is Terry McAuliffe erupting when asked about it.
Who do you think should be in control of education if not Virginia parents?
Have you been vaccinated yet? That's the question I want to know.
Who do you think should be in control of education if not Virginia parents?
Governor, was it a mistake for schools to close last year?
I'll build education. That's why Fox News has me leading. Glenn Youngkin destroyed Virginia's education system.
What a joke Terry McAuliffe is. What a joke. So he's asked whether parents should be in control of education. And he starts lecturing the guy about a mask. They're standing outside. He's literally walking to his car. If you can't see the clip, he's literally walking to his car and just yelling at this reporter, saying that he should be wearing a mask. And then he says, I'll take care of education. Glenn Youngkin will destroy it. Yeah, sure. Sure. So Terry McAuliffe is in real trouble in this race. Okay, this should not be a close race. The Virginia political map has been turning blue for quite a while right now. The results in Virginia in the 2020 election were heavily in favor, of course, of Hillary, in favor of Joe Biden. Joe Biden won the state by 10 points in 2020. Right now, Youngkin, who's a relative no-name, is running neck and neck with Terry McAuliffe, a former Virginia governor. It's the fact that this is even close is a referendum on how bad people think Democratic governance is, even in Democratic states. This has relegated Terry McAuliffe to basically trying to treat Glenn Youngkin as though he is Donald Trump and also Greg Abbott, which, of course, is not true. Here is Terry McAuliffe trying to say that Glenn Youngkin is going to ban abortion in the state of Virginia, which, of course, is not going to happen. I mean, unfortunately, from my point of view, but that's not what's going to happen in the state of Virginia.
I protected women's rights. He is going to ban abortions. We got him on tape saying that. Wants to ban abortions in Virginia. And I'll tell you, Andrew, that's a real issue for everyone today. For 50 years, we thought the Supreme Court would protect everybody with Roe v. Wade. Trump Supreme Court, if Glenn Youngkin is elected governor of Virginia, abortions will cease. And I got to tell you, it's dangerous for women, dangerous for doctors, and you can't bring businesses. I've recruited Amazon to Virginia. They're not coming to a state that discriminates.
He's having a really tough time, McAuliffe, putting a target on Youngkin's back, because McAuliffe is the issue here, not Trump and not Youngkin. And when it comes to education, Americans have very simple questions to ask, like, why are you guys doing an unbelievably crappy job? Brand new report out says the nation's 13-year-olds are less proficient in math and reading than they were almost a decade ago. That is not because of the COVID pandemic. That was data collected before the start of the pandemic and released on Thursday, according to the National Assessment of Education Progress. This is Politico reporting. This is the first time these scores have dropped in either subject in the 50-year history of the test. The students who struggle the most with the exam have fallen further behind, a worrisome result that suggests learning loss exacerbated by the pandemic could be catastrophic. Math scores fell furthest among students whose performance ranked in the 10th and 25th percentiles, meaning test takers with the lowest math scores in 2020 did worse than students who struggled the most when the test was last administered in 2012. The data also shows the achievement gap between white and black test takers widened. Nationally, math scores for 13-year-olds fell on average by 5 points. Reading scores declined on average 3 points. None of these results are impressive, said the commissioner of the National Center for Education Statistics. They're all concerning. The math results were particularly daunting. So basically, your schools are failing to educate kids, particularly the kids who are at the lowest end of the spectrum. And meanwhile, they're indoctrinating them in all the worst values and not protecting them. And you wonder why we have a schools crisis right now? You wonder why so many parents are interested in pulling their kids out of school? And you wonder why so many people are looking askance at Democratic administrations who seem solely concerned with pleasing teachers' unions? You wonder why so many Americans are upset with maybe the FBI and the DOJ doing the bidding of the very people who are failing to educate their kids and then claiming complete plenary authority over those children? None of this is good news for Democrats, obviously. More of this in just one moment. First, let's talk about a simple fact. If you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance for your family. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Getting started super simple. First, head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro in minutes. You can work out just how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius does not add on extra fees. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and very important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden's administration is having a rough time, but Joe Biden is here to tell you that his COVID plan is working anyway. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden says that his plan to quash COVID is working. Yes, yes. It was them. They did it. It was the mandatory vaccine mandates. Sure, it was that. So yesterday, Joe Biden wandered out to a microphone and he spoke for a grand total of 7 minutes. And then he turned around and then he left. Okay, so, I mean, that's all he can be expected to do. Like, he shows up every day. He talks for like 37 seconds and then he sort of collapses out of the room. And is dragged back to his casket where they perform some sort of resuscitatory action upon him. And then he breathes lightly until the next day when they pull him out of the casket again and wheel him out. So President Biden yesterday, he came out and he said, our plan is working. Oh, interesting. Okay, explain, Mr. President.
I want to provide a brief update on my plan that announced in early September to accelerate the path out of this pandemic. It's working. We're making progress. Nationally, daily cases are down 47%. Hospitalizations are down 38% over the past 6 weeks. Over the past 2 weeks, most of the country has improved as well. Case rates are declining in 39 states, and hospital rates are declining in 38 states.
Okay, let me point out how stupid this is. Okay, the reason that this is unbelievably stupid is because there are several reasons. Reason number one, the states that have seen the largest scale declines are states that have completely ignored Joe Biden. Now, Florida never had vaccine mandates. In fact, Ron DeSantis has been fighting vaccine mandates pretty much every step of the way and has vaccination rates that are about the same as the vaccination rates in California, for example. They're not wildly different. Hey, Joe Biden is suggesting that it is him yelling about vaccines that has caused the pandemic to wane, that old man shouting at clouds made the pandemic wane. Nope. All that happened is that the pandemic hits populations who spend lots of time indoors, and then it wanes because it passes through the population. This is what pandemics do. But this is Joe Biden's tried and true method, right? There's a parade already moving. He jumps out in front of it and claims credit for the parade. He did this with the vaccine rollout itself. He didn't have one iota to do with the development of the vaccine. His vaccine rollout plan was the same as Trump's. And now he's doing the exact same thing. So the pandemic wanes, mostly in red states where it had spiked. And he's like, look what I did. And Joe, look at me. I'm great at that. Amazing. Amazing how he jumps in. This is constantly the policy of bad bureaucrats, is that the problem already starts to solve itself, and then they jump in front of it, and they go, oh, it was me. I did it. Okay, so according to Joe Biden solved the pandemic by yelling at clouds. Okay, in reality, his plan has not worked. It is also worthy of noting at this point that all the vaccine mandates that he supposedly used in order to get the vaccine rates up, the only one that has actually been implemented to this point is the federal contractor mandate. So to credit his vaccine mandates with the uptick in vaccination rates is a stretch in and of itself. It is quite possible that one of the reasons you saw an uptick in vaccination rates is specifically because people looked at the Delta variant. They said, okay, I now have a choice. I can either get Delta or not get Delta. I prefer not to get Delta. I prefer to get the vaccine. And then if I get a breakthrough case, it'll be mild. But again, Joe Biden's going to claim credit for everything. Now, what's amazing about Joe Biden and our current authoritarians is that they truly believe that you are bad. You are divisive because you refuse their authoritarian mandates. This is an incredible statement from Joe Biden, what we're about to play. So Joe Biden is talking about divisiveness. Now, Joe Biden came into office on the pledge that he was going to unify. He instead has proposed an agenda that looks very much like Bernie Sanders' economic agenda. And he's proposed a COVID agenda that is full top-down authoritarian in many ways. Okay, so he has completely run beyond his own political mandate. Right? His political mandate was to be not Trump and to be dead. And he has fulfilled one of those promises. It was to be not Trump, not dead. Sorry, I guess. So Joe Biden came into office with a political mandate. It was to be dead, right? Not alive, not Trump, and moderate. Two of those three he has fulfilled. He is dead. He is not Trump, but he is certainly not moderate. And yet, according to Joe Biden, it is you who are dividing the country. You won't listen to him, and you won't do what he wants. You're dividing the country. Now, I noted this literally the day of his inauguration. In his speech, he kept talking about unity. And I said, well, there are two types of unity. There's unity in the sense that we'll leave you alone, and then we'll try to find some higher purpose we can all pursue together. But it's mostly going to be us leaving you alone, right? Unity requires us to go weapons down. Or unity could be, you do exactly what I want at point of gun, and now we're unified, aren't we? It's pretty obvious which way Joe Biden has moved. So yesterday, here he was saying that vaccine mandates should not divide us. I have an idea. Don't do them then.
Let's be clear. Vaccination requirements should not be another issue that divides us. That's why we continue to battle the misinformation that's out there. And companies and communities are stepping up as well to combat the misinformation. Southwest Airlines, at the head of the pilots union and its CEO, dismissed critics who claim vaccination mandates contributed to flight disruptions.
Well, who are you going to believe? Joe Biden about the vaccine mandates contributing to flight disruptions? or your own lying eyes, which demonstrate that there was really no weather problem in the United States, and Southwest was the only airline that had been significantly affected. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get into some of the reasons why Joe Biden's claim that he quashed COVID is really, really stupid. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Children.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden is claiming that he killed COVID. There's only one problem. He didn't. It is pretty obvious that whatever surge we had and waning we had had nothing to do with Joe Biden. According to the New York Times, after a brutal summer surge driven by the highly contagious Delta variant, the coronavirus is again in retreat. The United States is recording roughly 90,000 new infections a day, down more than 40% since August. Hospitalizations and deaths are falling too. The crisis is not over everywhere. The situation in Alaska is particularly dire. But nationally, the trend is clear, and hopes are rising that the worst is finally behind us. Again. Over the past 2 years, the pandemic has crashed over the country in waves, inundating hospitals and then receding, only to return after Americans let their guard down. I love how the New York Times puts that. So it's that Americans let their guard down that causes the pandemic to spike. Except that it's spiking in blue areas, too. It is all about, are you in proximity to other people? When it's cold outside, people go inside and then they get infected. When it's really hot outside, people go inside and then they get infected. Okay, that's all. And this baseline notion that if you get infected, it's because you have been sinful in some way is ridiculous. A lot of the people who are getting infected are people who got vaxxed. They're just getting breakthroughs. The New York Times says it's difficult to tease apart the reasons the virus ebbs and flows in this way, and harder still to predict the future. No, it's actually not all that difficult to explain. I just did it in two sentences. As winter looms, there are real reasons for optimism. Nearly 70% of adults are fully vaccinated. Many children under 12 are likely to be eligible for their shots in a matter of weeks. Federal regulators could soon authorize the first antiviral pill for COVID-19. Okay, by the way, Joe Biden said yesterday that parents are going to sleep more solidly at night knowing that their children won't be in danger because of the vaccine. Those of us who've been watching the stats have been sleeping solidly at night about our kids for a long time. I wasn't sleeping solidly about my parents. My parents are 65. I've been sleeping very solidly about my 7, 5, and 1-year-old because kids aren't dying of this in anything remotely like significant numbers. And that is not morally significant numbers. Every kid who dies is a morally significant life. But if you're talking about statistical significance, the grand total number of kids who have died in the United States from COVID-19 without serious pre-existing conditions, according to Dr. Marty McCarry of Johns Hopkins University, is currently between 10 and 20. Not 10 and 20,000, 10 and 20. Hey, that is not the kind of thing that keeps me awake at night. I am not kept awake at night by the fact that my child is in significant danger if 10 to 20 kids across a country of 330 million people have died of COVID without pre-existing conditions. Okay, but again, you must be cudgeled into the belief that these people have solved the problem as opposed to, you know, the virus just doing what the virus does. And my favorite thing about all of this is that we're supposed to believe all these folks, right? You heard Joe Biden a moment ago talking about how, you know, none of this should be divisive. We should just be listening to our authorities. We should be listening to our institutions, except that our institutions have routinely lied to us. Aside from Dr. Anthony Fauci, who shifts his opinion every 5.3 seconds, depending on whatever Joe Biden wants from him that day, our media are just liars. So honestly, one of the funniest things that I've seen in the past couple of months, Joe Rogan did a segment with Sanjay Gupta of CNN. And honestly, flower to Gupta's widow, because Rogan just destroyed him. It really is quite incredible. He had Gupta on, and he asked him, Sanjay, I have a question. I took ivermectin. It is not a horse dewormer. It is a medication. Your entire network claimed that it was a horse dewormer. Why don't you tell the members of your network it is not a horse dewormer and tell them to stop lying to people? So then Sanjay Gupta went back on TV on CNN, and he had his chance, and he said nothing, because he's getting paid by CNN. So here is Don Lemon trying to explain it's fine to call ivermectin a horse dewormer, even though that is not the form of ivermectin that Joe Rogan was taking.
I know it's in large part a tongue-in-cheek interview, you know, because it's Joe Rogan, and there's lots of, you're jockeying back and forth, but he did say something about ivermectin that I think wasn't actually correct about CNN and lying, okay? Ivermectin is a drug that is commonly used as a horse dewormer. So it is not a lie to say that the drug is used as a horse dewormer. I think that's important, and it is not approved for COVID. Correct?
That's right.
That's not right. It's not approved for COVID by the FDA, but the notion that ivermectin, which comes in a variety of forms, that Joe Rogan was like taking a tube of horse paste and then ingesting it, is insane. And Sanjay Gupta admitted that to Joe Rogan, and then he went on CNN, and then he nodded along while Don Lemon continues to lie about it. It's unreal. But don't worry. You should try. These are not the divisive people. They are not. You are divisive. You're divisive for not listening to them. Meanwhile, these experts, the one who are going to fix everything, this is the story of the day. It is unreal to me. So these experts, the people who are going to fix all your problems, right? They're going to hit that magic button. All the problems are going to be fixed. It's going to be incredible. Pete Buttigieg is the Secretary of Transportation. We are currently having, in the United States, the worst shipping crisis in my lifetime. And I'm nearly 40 years old. This is the worst shipping crisis we've had in the United States in my lifetime. The Secretary of Transportation, you might think, might have some things to do, right? I mean, we've had this shipping bottleneck. It's been ongoing in the United States since the summer. You might think that the Secretary of Transportation would be necessary. Pete Buttigieg was on paternity leave since August. Hey, Politico is now reporting that Pete Buttigieg was just gone. Hey, and no one noticed. That's how important Pete Buttigieg is. I mean, while he was waxing philosophic about the beauty of the smells of the airport, Pete Buttigieg was actually spending the last 2 months, this brilliant young mind from South Bend, Indiana, who couldn't fill a damn pothole over there. Pete Buttigieg has been home with his husband, Chasen, and their two children. And, yeah, that's great. So that's exciting stuff. He's just been gone for 2 months and no one noticed, which means that he is a complete useless person. I mean, I have a question for you. If you just went MIA for 2 months, right? You just went MIA, didn't bother to replace you. Nobody bothered to tell anybody. You just went MIA. How long do you think you would keep your job? This means that your job is more vital than Pete Buttigieg's. By the way, according to internal Democratic polling, he's second only to Kamala Harris in terms of who the Democrats want to see run for president again. A man so useless that he took 2 months off in the middle of a shipping crisis as the head of the Department of Transportation to be home with two babies. That's, again, nothing against paternity leave, although I will say I think 2 months is a very long time for paternity leave, especially when there's no physical recovery involved. But with that said, if you're going to take paternity leave, and you're in a real important job, and you're a public servant, shouldn't like somebody know about it? According to Politico, they didn't previously announce it, but Buttigieg's office told West Wing Playbook the secretary has actually been on paid leave since mid-August to spend time with his husband, Chasen, and their two newborn babies. A spokesperson for the Department of Transportation said, quote, for the first 4 weeks, he was mostly offline except for major agency decisions and matters that could not be delegated. He's been ramping up activities since then. As he does that, Buttigieg will continue to take some time over the coming weeks to support his husband and take care of his new children, the spokesperson added. Amazing. Amazing. These are the people we need in charge. They're going to fix everything. They're so good at that they just went completely AWOL for 2 months and no one even noticed they weren't. This is Office Space now. It's Ron Livingston from Office Space. Right? I'm not going to quit. I'm just not going to work anymore. I think I'm done working. What is it that you say you do here? Exactly. Okay, but here's the thing. Democrats are just going to continue to pretend that nothing bad is happening. It's truly incredible. So former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, who's the Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, he points out that we are now in a very serious economic position. We have massive inflation. It is now permanent or semi-permanent. We have a serious shipping bottleneck that is not going to be solved anytime soon. We have millions of workers who are quitting the workforce. 4.3 million workers left the workforce last month. And here's Larry Summers pointing out this is all kind of serious, is it not?
In the 60s, we saw, before there were any adverse supply shocks, we saw inflation move from having a one handle in 1966 to having a six handle by 1969. And we've got much larger budget deficits today than we did then. We've got much more in the way of supply bottlenecks emerging much sooner than we did then. So I think we're looking at a very serious kind of situation.
Meanwhile, the CEO of Morgan Stanley says, yeah, remember all those times they kept telling you over and over that inflation was transitory, it was going to go away soon? Joe Biden's been saying that for months. James Gorman, the CEO and chairman of Morgan Stanley, is like, yeah, not so much.
I'm not a buyer of this story that it's all transitory, the inflation story. It's not transitory. I mean, wage inflation is real, and the supply chain interruptions, and you were talking about some of the natural gas and other things, have clearly been real. Some of that is temporary, but not all of it. So I think we're in a period where inflation is going to tick up.
Yep. Okay, but here's the thing. According to this administration, this isn't a big deal. These are high-class problems. So Jason Furman, who is some sort of a reporter slash commentator, he said most of the economic problems we're facing, inflation, supply chains, etc., are high-class problems. We wouldn't have had them if the unemployment rate was still 10%. We would instead have had a much worse problem. And Ron Klain, who is the White House chief of staff, and he spends all day on Twitter. Remember that time that Trump was bad because he was on Twitter all day? So Ron Klain, who's on Twitter like all day long, like all day, he tweets this, meaning he agrees with this. So he agrees that inflation and supply chain problems are, quote unquote, high class problems. Right? These are good problems. It's a good problem that you're paying like a crap load of money at the store for basic goods. It's a great problem that you can't get Christmas presents for your kids. And these are great problems to have, aren't they? Because the alternative, apparently, according to this administration, the only two alternatives are one, 10% unemployment, and two, massive inflation and supply chain bottlenecks. Or alternatively, your policy created the problems. Your policy is creating these problems. So Jen Psaki was asked about this, and honestly, she's the night nurse for this administration. They crap the bed. She tries to clean it up. I kind of feel bad for her, except she's volunteered into the job. Here's Jen Psaki.
So Jason Furman, of course, is more than capable of speaking or tweeting for himself, obviously, and providing any additional context. But what the point is here is that we are at this point because we've made progress in the economy. And what would be worse, in our view, is if the unemployment rate was at 10%, people were out of work, hundreds of thousands of people were still dying of COVID, and people weren't able to lose their homes. So that's the full context.
Good. Full context. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that she's now provided the full context. It turns out that Democrats can always claim that the alternative is complete destruction of all that is good, as opposed to, you know, the mostly destruction of all that is good that is happening right now. In a second, I want to get to the underlying rationale for why so many Democrats seem pretty sanguine about all this. Because for most people who are out there, it makes a difference if they're paying higher bills. For most people who are out there, it makes a difference if they are losing in terms of real wages. For most people out there, it matters if they can get Christmas presents for their kids. Like, this stuff tends to matter to people. So why are Democrats so sanguine about it? So one of the big questions here is why Democrats feel so unbelievably sanguine about all of this bad economic news. It goes to something deeper. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is.
And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon. Cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill-up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WORK.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So a lot of Democrats seem pretty sanguine about the bad economic news, about millions of workers staying out of the workforce. There's a reason why. And maybe the reason is they're happy to transform work. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal today talking about scarcity of labor. It says 4.3 million workers are missing. Where did they go? Scarce labor is becoming a fixture of the U.S. economy, reshaping the workforce, prodding firms to adapt by raising wages, reinventing services, and investing in automation. More than a year and a half into the pandemic, the U.S. is still missing around 4.3 million workers. That's how much bigger the labor force would be if the participation rate, the share of the population 16 or older, either working or looking for work, returned to its February 2020 level of 63.3%. In September, it was just 61.6%. The absence comes as U.S. employers are struggling to fill more than 10 million job openings and meet soaring consumer demand. In another sign of how tight the labor market is, jobless claims fell to 293,000 last week, the first time since the pandemic began that they fell below 300,000, according to the Labor Department. Workers are quitting at or near the highest rates on record in sectors such as manufacturing, retail, trade, transportation, and utilities, as well as professional and business services. Participation has fallen broadly across demographic groups and career fields, but has dropped particularly fast among women, workers without a college degree, and those in low-paying service industries like hotels, restaurants, and childcare. Many economists expected that people would come back to work, but some economists are concerned that worsening worker shortages reflect longer-term shifts, such as the pandemic-driven acceleration of retirements that will not reverse. Many expect the labor shortage to last at least several more years. Some say it's permanent. Of the 52 economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal, 22 predicted participation would never return to its pre-pandemic levels. So where exactly are all of these people going? Well, many of them are either going back home. Goldman Sachs said in a note this month that enhanced unemployment benefits have likely contributed to the shortage. When the pandemic began, Jesse Stromach was a senior engineering manager at a small software firm in Portland, Oregon, supervising a couple dozen employees. In the pandemic, there were a lot of challenges in our business I was called upon to deal with, said Stromwick. Just tapping that button all the time is really tiring. The birth of his son last November added to his doubts about whether the job's rewards were worth the sacrifices. He initially looked for other opportunities. When a friend suggested he take time off entirely, Stromwick was intrigued. Is that even a thing you can do in capitalism, he recalls thinking. His wife, a nurse midwife, supported the move. The federal government has allowed borrowers like his wife to suspend student loan payments through January 2022. The couple also refied their mortgage at a lower interest rate. Okay, so this is all government policy now. Those adjustments have saved around $2,000 a month. Stromwick's planned 3 months off has now stretched to 5 months and might last until the end of the year. 2 years ago, I was thinking I want to get as high as I can on the corporate ladder, he said. It just interests me less now if it comes with the sacrifice to my mental health and my connection with my family. Employers are overhauling their business models to adjust for the labor shortages. Okay, bottom line is this. People look at the way the Democrats are running things, and they believe, in their heart of hearts, apparently, that there will never be a cost to this. Paul Krugman, for one, is celebrating this, as the Keynesian he is. He says, it's not surprising many workers are either quitting or reluctant to return to their old jobs. The harder question is, why now? Many Americans hated their jobs 2 years ago, but they didn't act on those feelings as much as they are now. What changed? Well, it's only speculation, but it seems quite possible the pandemic, by upending many Americans' lives, also caused some of them to reconsider their life choices. Not everyone can afford to quit a hated job, but a significant number of workers seem ready to accept the risk of trying something different. Except that, if you look statistically, the people who are not going back to work are people who are at the lower end of the economic spectrum, not people who are middle class and upper end. But according to Krugman, this is a good thing. He says, while this new choosiness by workers who feel empowered is making consumers and business owners' lives more difficult, let's be clear. Overall, it's a good thing. American workers are insisting on a better deal. It's in the nation's interest. They get it. A good thing for whom? Prices have been skyrocketing because of lack of labor. The people who are working are getting raises, but those raises are not commensurate with the inflation rates. Meanwhile, we have to blow out the debt to keep up with the price-adjusted increases for mandatory programs like Social Security. There's a fascinating article in The Nation, which, of course, is a far-left source, by a guy named Aaron Benenav, called Making a Living, the History of What We Call Work. And he really kind of spills the beans on what it is that the left would like here. What the left would like is to change your consuming habits so that you are satisfied with less, and so we can redistribute everything in the way that the left would like. What they want is economic stagnation and redistribution. That is the goal of the left at this point. They want to, they see work as an inherent bad. And there's a belief in the minds of the left about human nature. And that belief is that if you are freed from the predations of work, all work being a form of exploitation, if you are freed from the predations of work, you will become a poet and an artist. You remember Nancy Pelosi actually said this. And then maybe you'd be able to wander around and create art and poetry, because that's exactly what people typically on welfare do. I mean, if you've ever looked at the crowd of people creating great art, great poetry in this country, it is predominantly coming from people who are requiring government benefits. Those are the people who are just the heart and soul of creativity and innovation in the United States. So according to this author in The Nation, he's writing about a book called Work, A Deep History from the Stone Age to the Age of Robots, by an anthropologist named James Sussman. Okay, and the basic idea of this book is that for the vast majority of human history, human beings have lived as hunter-gatherers on diets consisting of fruits, vegetables, nuts, insects, fish, and game. Okay, according to the book, fire predigests food. When you roast the flesh of a woolly mammoth, the process yields significantly more calories than if the food was left uncooked. Mastering fire thus made for a radical increase in humanity's free time, because early humans were able to get more out of the food that they had, and therefore they had a lot of free time. According to that author, free time subsequently shaped our species' cultural evolution. Leisure afforded long periods of hanging around with others, which led to the development of language, storytelling, and the arts. Human beings also gained the capacity to care for those who were too old to feed for themselves, a trait we share with few other species. So again, the idea is that we should be more like the hunter-gatherers, right? We should abandon the way that we see production entirely, and instead we should aim for a system in which we basically do the subsistence minimum, and we can spend the rest of our time hanging out and partying and having ourselves a good time. Now, the question is why that hasn't happened, right? So one of the questions is why, if that's true, if human beings just want to basically cover their basic needs and then move on with their lives and hang out and party, why aren't more humans doing this? The answer for the left is that you have all been corrupted by the capitalist system, which makes you want things. And because you want things, this leads you to the chaining of yourself to the machine. You chain yourself to the work. Like, this is the direct opposite of sort of the Randian approach to work. The Ayn Randian approach to work is that work is an outgrowth of your creative function. And when you do creative things, what you're actually doing is fulfilling yourself, which is true for a huge number of people who work. Work gives people purpose. Work is not a bad thing. But the left sees work as a bad thing. They believe that if you had more leisure time, what you'd really be spending that doing is stuff that doesn't, you wouldn't take drugs. You wouldn't get addicted to alcohol. Unemployment would come with just vast benefits. So that is why so many people seem pretty sanguine about the high rates of people dropping out of the economy. It's actually creating the utopia they seek, which is some people work a lot of hours and really hard to produce for everybody else. And then we redistribute all the gains. Right? Now, some people see that as a violation of liberty principles. Some people see that, as I do, as a violation of basic human nature, which is that people need to work. It is good for people to work. Work is not a bad thing. And the notion that people expend extra leisure time in the most glorious of pursuits is generally untrue. Right? There is truth to the old saying that idle hands are the devil's workshop. But according to the left, that's not right. Right? Capitalism is bad because work is bad. And therefore, what we really need to do is grab the gains of capitalism and redistribute them across society. So we should be cheering when people drop out of the workforce. we should be happy. And if you're feeling a little bit bad because inflation is up and because you have to pay a little bit more, understand that this is all in pursuit of a higher goal. This is all in pursuit of a higher end. And that higher end is a utopian system in which all of our basic needs are provided for, and we can sit around the campfire and hang out with one another. It is heaven on earth. All it will require is for you to give up your liberty to actually choose the things you want. All it's going to cost you is a worse lifestyle in the here and now, fewer choices for your family, and a complete monopoly on how you live your life by the people who know best. Who, by the way, are so useless that they can go on vacation for 2 months and nobody even notices. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden facing sharp criticism from some Democrats over his interactions with moderates Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema.
The president continues to court support from Democrat outliers Manchin and Sinema for his massive Build Back Better bill. Using the reconciliation process, Democrats won't need any Republican votes, but will need to muster all 50 votes from their own caucus. Both Sinema and Manchin are urging their party to reconsider the size and scope of the bill. Opposition that's put them in the crosshairs of many party colleagues, some even taking aim at the president. A President Biden Democrat strategist, Steve Jarding, says, quote, "You're the president of the United States. You've got all the leverage in the world." Bob Agner reporting.
Firefighters making progress in stopping a blaze in the coastal mountains of Southern California. The fire west of Santa Barbara has grown only slightly. Also at townhall.com, officials in Norway say the man who allegedly killed five people with a bow and arrow now undergoing medical evaluation.
He's in custody, but he is being assessed by health professionals, and it's a psychiatric assessment that could last weeks or even months. There were a lot of reports, particularly from his family and friends, also of his mental problems. There was a restraining order that had been issued against him for threatening to kill a relative. But then, aside from that, there were fears over his radicalization. There will now be questions over whether the police could have stopped him earlier.
The BBC's Mark Lowen. Police departments that are requiring officers to be vaccinated now running up against pockets of resistance around the nation. Police unions and officers pushing back by filing lawsuits to block the mandates. And in Chicago, the mayor's going to court. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
New study says exposure to a synthetic group of chemicals may contribute to 100,000 premature deaths each year.
Phthalates are used to make plastics more flexible and can be found in hundreds of products such as cosmetics, detergents, food packing, soaps, shampoos, and others. The chemicals are known to interfere with the human body's hormonal system, but a new study led by researchers at New York University's Grossman School of Medicine estimates phthalates may be associated with somewhere between 91,000 and 107,000 premature deaths in the U.S. among adults aged 55 to 64. The study estimates the death could cost the country between $40 billion and $47 billion annually. Bernie Bennett reporting.
A military judge issuing a reprimand for a Marine officer, ordering him to forfeit $5,000 in pay for his criticism of the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Police in Kenya have arrested the husband of record-breaking long-distance runner Agnes Tirop, who was stabbed to death in her home.
Tirop was found dead at her home in the western town of Iten with stab wounds on her neck and abdomen. Rotich, who had gone missing following the athlete's death, was arrested as he tried to flee to a neighboring country. On Thursday, the police told the BBC that another person was in custody and is helping them with their investigations. On Thursday, Athletics Kenya announced it had suspended events in the country for 2 weeks in her honor. Tirop, who had finished fourth in the Olympic 5,000-meter final 2 months ago, was 10 days away from her 26th birthday at the time of her death.
The BBC's Celestine Corona. Wall Street Friday, Dow Industrials up 382 points, the NASDAQ ahead 74. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Welcome back. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben. It's good to be a Democratic-aligned bureaucrat because, really, you might lose temporarily, but you never lose permanently. The latest of these stories, remember Andrew McCabe? Remember he's the former FBI deputy director who lied to investigators about how he had leaked information to the press about the Hillary Clinton investigation? Well, now he's apparently won back his full pension as part of a settlement with the Justice Department. Oh, look at that. Merrick Garland's DOJ offered Andy McCabe his pension back. Who could have predicted such a thing? The agreement completed on Thursday allows the key crossfire hurricane figure to officially retire and receive hundreds of thousands of dollars in missed pension payments and attorney's fees, according to the Washington Examiner. McCabe was fired in March 2018 by then-Attorney General Jeff Sessions, after DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz determined he repeatedly lacked candor with investigators during a criminal leaks investigation. McCabe denied wrongdoing. The Trump-era DOJ decided in early 2020 not to prosecute McCabe. The settlement was signed by McCabe, his lawyer, and DOJ Senior Trial Counsel Justin Sandberg. The 11-page agreement noted it is neither an admission of liability by defendants nor a concession by plaintiff that his claims are not well-founded. They claimed it was signed because the parties wished to resolve this dispute amicably. The agreement said they agreed to the rescission of McCabe's firing, and that the FBI's records would be amended to say he was employed continuously from July 1996 until retirement in March 2018, and they said that they would be paying him $539,000 in full settlement and satisfaction of all attorney's fees, costs, and expenses. So, good times. The DOJ has declined to comment. You'll remember that in 2018, Horowitz released a report detailing multiple instances in which McCabe, quote-unquote, lacked candor with FBI Director James Comey, FBI investigators, and Inspector General investigators about his authorization to leak sensitive information to the Wall Street Journal, revealing an existence of an FBI investigation into the Clinton Foundation. Horowitz's report concluded the evidence is substantial. McCabe misled investigators knowingly and intentionally, meaning he lied. Sessions fired McCabe just before he was set to retire. Comey, for his part, said he did not authorize McCabe to talk to the media. Horowitz wrote that McCabe's actions were, quote, designed to advance his personal interests at the expense of department leadership and violated the department's and the FBI's media policy and constituted misconduct in an attempt to make himself look good. So, great job, everybody. Glad we went through that whole rigmarole so we can pay Andy McCabe a bunch of money. That is exciting stuff. Meanwhile, the Democrats continue to try and put together this giant spending package. Every crisis is an opportunity. Kamala Harris says that, you know, the fact that the economy is in the doldrums and the fact that Democratic states are still prolonging the economic impact of the pandemic, this is a national opportunity. It's a national opportunity, says the least likable politician in America.
The latest jobs numbers confirm there are 2 million fewer women in the workforce than there were at the start of the pandemic. I believe that it is time to treat this national emergency as a national opportunity.
Oh, well, now that it's an opportunity, guys, don't you see? Like the vast suffering, death, economics, it's an opportunity. An opportunity to build back better. Now, here's the thing. They don't actually have a mandate to build back better. They have a mandate to leave us the hell alone. According to CNN, new poll, 2/3 of independents oppose Biden's $3.5 trillion spending plan. 32% of independents oppose the bill entirely. Another 32% would prefer a smaller bill. Only 36% prefer something larger. The number contrasted sharply with support expressed by Democrats. 75% of Democrats say they want more. 55% of Republicans said they want to see Congress reject the bill completely. 30% of Americans say they want a cheaper version. So, kind of a mess for the Biden administration, because it's the independents that you need to win over if you're hoping to retain the House in 2020. We'll get some more of this in 2022. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about a simple fact. When you go online, you need to be using ExpressVPN. You don't want to leave your data out there for anybody to grab. I mean, your own ISP could be gathering your data and then packaging it and then reselling it. This is one of the ways they make money. One of the data points they use is your IP address. That data harvesters, they use that to uniquely identify you and your location. But ExpressVPN reroutes my connection through an encrypted server. My IP address is masked. That makes it more difficult for third parties to identify me and harvest my data. The best part, it's really easy to use ExpressVPN. No matter what device you are on, phone, laptop, smart TV, all you have to do is tap one button and now you are protected. So if, like me, you believe your data is your business, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN on the market. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Head on over to expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Today I've been using ExpressVPN for years. You can download it with one click of a button. Click the button again. Now you're protected. It's that simple. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months for free at ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Okay, so not a lot of people interested in Joe Biden's $3.5 trillion spending initiative, but the hardcore part of his base really, really is. So you got Ayanna Pressley, the adjunct member of the squad, the Ringo Starr of the squad, explaining that actually they have a mandate to do this, which is weird because they don't.
The Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the White House. We are in power. We are in the majority. We have a mandate, and we have to act like it.
You don't. I'm sorry to tell you this, but nobody gave you a mandate to spend this much money. And some Democrats are beginning to realize this, right? So Ed Markey, the senator from Massachusetts, again, another radical, and he says, you know, we have to stop talking about what's feasible. Like, let's even stop having practical conversations about this. Instead, let's talk about what's quote-unquote necessary. Now, how do they come up with this $3.5 trillion bill is necessary? If you propose to them $10 trillion, they would say yes. So, in their view, literally all spending is necessary. You cannot name a program they believe is not necessary. Here's Ed Markey talking about what's necessary.
As we move forward with these negotiations on our spending, we need to remember what the real entitlements are in this country. It's time for us to stop talking about what is politically feasible and start talking about what is scientifically necessary. We cannot compromise on science. Policies will either take steps to save the planet or they will not. And we should not compromise.
Okay, I have a question, truly. If Democrats really, really believe that saving the planet is at stake here, and we're all going to die, the planet's going to be overrun, it's all going to be over for us, we're just going to boil it up. If Democrats truly believe this, why aren't they calling to go net zero, like, today? Well, like, today. No delay. Any delay means people die. Why don't you just call? If feasibility is not the question, if it's just about what's necessary, then we should all stop driving our cars right now, turn off our ACs, stop using the power plants, all of it. I don't see Democrats calling to do that. Number one, because they know it's not that great an emergency, and number two, because they know it's not feasible. But the radicals are really holding up the show here, so Pramila Jayapal from Washington, she's holding up the show, too. She's actually openly saying that she might just vote against a bill that's $1.5 trillion. Now, I don't believe her. I think that if the Democrats presented a bill from the Senate that was a trillion and a half, I don't think she says no. But She's saying she will.
Now, a lot of people have asked, isn't something better than nothing? And the answer, quite simply, is no. Because when it comes down to something rather than nothing, it's the same people who are forced to settle for nothing over and over and over again. It's the reason why we have a housing crisis in this country, with public housing having fallen into such decay that it's threatening the health of people who live there.
Okay, I love the fact that her case in point of where we need more government intervention is in public housing. Public housing is one of the worst things that the federal government has ever done. Public housing was such a failure in the 1960s and 1970s that they actually had to blow up a lot of the public housing because it turned into basically just terrible slum conditions for people. But, you know, good for her for standing by her principles. Meanwhile, Tim Ryan, the more moderate congressman from Ohio, he says, yeah, maybe we should have just done this bipartisan infrastructure bill, maybe.
I think actually doing the bipartisan bill would have been fine. I mean, I think it's important, too, to show the country that we can actually function and pass things. And while I didn't think that was anywhere close to being big enough, I thought it would have been a good signal to send to the country and get the ball rolling here.
Yeah, but it got held up. It got held up by the radicals. By the way, it is fascinating, isn't it, that in the middle of this shipping crisis, we've had no talk about the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Isn't that fascinating? Right, which definitely shows where Biden's priorities are. Right, if Biden's priorities were, let's get the infrastructure bill passed, and then we'll do this other bill, and we'll try to get something on both fronts, now would be like an excellent time for him to push the infrastructure plan, right? He could say, listen, our infrastructure's failing. We got a big problem. It wouldn't be true, but he could say this. We got a huge problem, and the problem is our infrastructure. It's not the union contract. It's not the fact that we have all of these crappy policies at the ports. No, the really big problem is our infrastructure. We need to pass this thing ASAP. He could be bringing pressure to bear on the progressive wing. He is not. He is not because he likes the progressive wing. He wants the progressive wing to hold feet to the fire. He's more concerned with the fundamental transformation of work in the United States than he is with actually, quote unquote, solving the problems in front of him right now. That is why you haven't heard one word. I mean, it really is fascinating, right? We've got a supposed infrastructure problem right now. The infrastructure solution is not only available, it's bipartisan. And yet Biden won't say one word about it. Really, really interesting, and demonstrates exactly where his priorities lie. The American people know that, which is, of course, why the American people are going to react very badly to Democrats over the course of the next several years. Alrighty, in just a second, we'll be having on my friend Steven Crowder. He just got hit by YouTube for basically just saying that men are not women. If this is the new standard, we are all very much in the dumpster situation here. We'll get to that in a moment. First, let's be clear about this. If you are a responsible human being, you need to make sure that your family is taken care of in case, God forbid, something should happen to you. I mean, let's say that winter is finally ending and it's time for you to go out and get the food that you need for you and your kids. You're careful out there. I mean, it can sometimes be a dangerous situation. So you take your young fawn out into the meadow and you're grazing nicely. And then all of a sudden a shot rings out. You try to run, but you can't. Well, as you lie there, looking up at your son Bambi, you think to yourself, man, I truly should have gotten Policy Genius. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. In fact, you could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Getting started is simple first. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com/Shapiro. Figure out how much life insurance coverage you need, compare personalized quotes, and then Policy Genius does everything else. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com/Shapiro. Get started right now. That's Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice and very important to get it right. Already coming up, Steven Crowder joins us. He has been suspended from YouTube yet again. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Message and data rates may apply. Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet, for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge many of us don't think about. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to see one veteran with special needs one time per year. Visit willyouseeonevet.org to learn more. That's willyouseeonevet.org. This message furnished by Dental Lifeline Network.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line, Stephen Crowder. You know Stephen, of course. He doesn't require any sort of introduction, but his show is Louder with Crowder. And now he has been suspended from YouTube for the great crime of course, observing that men are not women. This, of course, is dangerous stuff these days. Stephen, good to talk to you. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I can't see you right now, but I'm sorry. I was a little late, and you know, I was driving here to the studio. Actually, I got pulled over by a cop, and I thought, oh crap. So I was just under the wire. Turns out he was actually a really nice guy. I don't know if you ever had this. He wanted an autograph.
Really? I've not had that. Although I will admit that I've not been pulled over for speeding since I had my license suspended many years ago.
Well,
113 on the I-5. Yeah.
Is your license actually suspended?
Oh no, got suspended at the time. It's been reinstated, and I haven't had a ticket since. I learned my lesson. When you get caught doing 113 on the freeway, it scares you a little bit.
Humble brag for Ben Shapiro. Correct. That he goes fast. But I was pulled over. Turns out the cop just wanted an autograph. He's like, I'm a fan of the show, so you know, I have to give him some time. I'm like, I gotta go. And we're doing the segment on the show where we're doing 23andMe's. And they said, what's that? And I explained to him, and he saw that I was a 3% sub-Saharan African. Then he beat the hell out of me.
Steven Crowder. So, okay, Steven, let's talk about what's going on with YouTube. So every couple of months, they suspend you for no reason, for not violating their policies, or they just randomly decide that they have decided to reinterpret their policies in order to suspend you. What is the latest go around?
So here's what happened. We had a video, a hard strike removed. The video removed and a hard strike on our channel. For people who don't know, that means we cannot stream it all to YouTube. So some people are saying, where's the show? And go on Apple, Spotify, Rumble, or of course, Mug Club. The episode was specifically dealing with, I'm sure you know this, female inmates getting pregnant in California. This has happened since there's been a record number of people who identify as transgender males to females going to female prisons. They actually have a pregnancy protocol in California now. So we did this story about a female inmate being impregnated. And under the guise of, and I hate to explain the joke, I said, so I guess immaculate conception? And we had a sketch, and the sketch was the angel coming down to Mary, telling her that to you will be born a child this day, fear not, and it shall be assigned unto you that you will be sexually assaulted by your transgender inmate repeatedly. That was the sketch. It was a joke. It was hilarious. We had Alex Jones play the angel. Keep in mind, this was full production. So anyways, we got suspended for that story. The story was actually dancing around that we cannot say biological men are men, right? So we just kind of made, how are these women getting pregnant in prison? They said, well, look, this is actually violence against transgenders. And we have a letter, which people can see, we posted on the website, from YouTube's very expensive legal counsel. And this is what's so concerning to everyone out there. And you guys did great work there at Daily Wire on the Loudoun County story. We covered it on Thursday. We had to remove that because of the language that said violence against transgenders or indicating that transgender individuals may pose a rape threat to women. That is now against YouTube policy. So the issue there is if anyone talks about actual instances of rape, against people. So a girl was raped, look, in Loudoun County. You guys have covered it. For people who don't know who are hearing this, a girl was raped. The school board did nothing to very little. And the young boy, who I can't say transgender, I guess bisexual, who wears skirts but is allowed in the girls' room, went on to rape again. Now, here's the thing. Not only do I argue here that we should be allowed to discuss specific instances of rape, but you have to be able to make the broad generalization that transgender men in women's spaces could pose a rape threat to women. Do you know why? You can't oppose policy if you can't make that argument. I thought about this, and I said, wait a second. Over 100 parents were lined up at that municipal meeting or board meeting in Loudoun County to complain about this policy, saying, hey, I think this could be a threat to my daughter to allow biological boys in the girls' room. If you were to say that on YouTube, if you were to say that on Facebook, ban. This is the first time that we've had it in writing from an attorney at YouTube.
It is an amazing statement. That is terrifying. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the statement right now, and they say that you're not allowed, this is the quote, indicating that trans people pose a rape threat to women. Now, if you just changed out the actual phrase, trans people for biological men, that is inarguable, right? I mean, if you just say biological men pose a rape threat to women, there's nothing arguable about that, because that's generally who poses rape threats to women are biological men. But now what YouTube is basically saying is if you say biological men who identify as women pose a rape threat to women, then you will be thrown off of YouTube, which is patently crazy.
And by the way, this is your fault.
Uh-oh.
It's your fault because this happened immediately after we covered the Loudoun story. And that was an hour show on the Loudoun story. I spoke with people at Daily Wire and said, hey, we're going to cover this. Can you give me some of your sources? So I wanted to make sure that I had the confirmation of the rape kit. Because, you know, look,
we want to be careful, too. The legal liability is on us, right? So, yep.
Exactly. So I like to have it off, but I said, look, I want to make sure I have this story correct. We spent an hour on that story, and immediately afterward, this language. So it's not that we were banned for this episode. It's that after this episode aired, YouTube decided to create this language and send it out in no uncertain terms for something retroactively, which, by the way, wouldn't even be a violation of this. It was a comedy sketch, and there's a carve-out on YouTube for comedy. I certainly think that Alex Jones dressed as an angel and Mary in a cell with a transgender cellmate in a cell manger would qualify as comedy. This is because of the Loudoun story. This is what my argument is. I would suggest that it's no coincidence that the moment an hour show on the Loudoun County story on YouTube, which was the number one live stream on YouTube that day and was poised to go well over a million views, that this letter came down. This is a story that you guys broke. I think it's one of the most important in months, and we got dinged for it. And this is really not about look, we've been dinged many times from YouTube. This is a warning shot to all parents. Listen, maybe you can do it in your town halls. Maybe you can do it at your PTA meetings. You're not allowed to do it in the digital town square. You cannot indicate that biological males may pose a rape threat to it. Let's do a thought exercise. Let's say I'm a parent, okay, in Loudoun County. I see that a girl was raped. I see a girl came forward. It was swept under the rug. And the perpetrator raped another girl. And I go, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not comfortable with this. I want to make sure this doesn't happen again. Under YouTube's policy, under what the YouTube lawyer just sent, how do you voice your concern
Right. There is no way to do it. Well, Stephen, you know, the bad news for you is that you don't have a Netflix special where if you made the exact same jokes, then Netflix's board of directors would defend you so long as you provide enough profit for them. Unfortunately, you don't have the approval of the Netflix class, so YouTube will just ding you every so often.
Well, there's going to be a walkout. You know, in Netflix, there's going to be a walkout on October 20th for all the transgender. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have.
From all the transgender employees, there's going to be a walkout, and Eddie Murphy's just going to be circling them in a limo.
Oh, no. That's Steven Crowder. You can still check out his work over at The Blaze, Rumble, anywhere else that Steven's work appears. And I'm sure he'll be back on YouTube soon because he does, in fact, have an excellent set of lawyers. Steven, good luck in all this. We're behind you, obviously.
Thank you very much. And hey, great work on the story, you guys, really.
I appreciate it. All righty. Coming up, we'll be joined by Scott Lindsay to come to talk about why we have a supply chain bottleneck, as well as whether the definition of work in America is radically changing to mean you get to stay home and the government pays all of your bills and we're all supposed to cheer for you. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR 1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Scott Linscombe. He's a senior fellow in economic studies, writing on international and domestic economic issues, including international trade, subsidies, and industrial policy, manufacturing, and global supply chains. Scott, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the supply chain failures we've been seeing across the United States. Obviously, America's ports are a disaster area. The good news is that the Secretary of Transportation is apparently so on it that he took 2 months off and nobody noticed, which just demonstrates once again how efficient our government is, that the Secretary of Transportation can take literally a 2-month paternity leave and no one bothers to ask where he is, which just shows that we're on it. But you've been writing about the global supply chains and how complex this process is. Joe Biden recently announced that we're going to start keeping like one out of our ports, like maybe one part of the port open 24/7, and this is supposed to heal the problem. Maybe you can fill us in on what exactly is going on here.
Sure. So, I mean, it's important to note, I think, to start that, you know, a lot of the issue at the ports and with supply chains is just the pandemic doing its thing, right? When you have a insanely complex and Hayekian network of thousands and thousands of individuals and companies and factories and ships and ports and the rest, that have all pretty been much been orchestrated based on consistent patterns of supply and demand. You're going to have problems when you start having entire countries opening and closing and factories shutting down and even ports shutting down and the rest. And that's going to do crazy things with supply and demand patterns. And that's certainly one of the things that's going on here, because the United States reopened before a lot of countries in Asia. Vietnam, China, you name it. And so consumers, you know, eager to spend, got out there and ramped up spending. But, you know, you just didn't have the demand on the other side to take our goods. So farm goods, whatever the United States makes, that kind of stuff. You know, contrary to popular belief, we actually do make a lot of stuff. We're the second largest exporting nation in the world. So, you know, when you have goods all going one way, that's a bit of a problem, right? So combine that with changes in U.S. consumer patterns. You know, we all are getting more comfortable with buying couches on the internet, that kind of stuff. That's also going to weigh on these kind of classic patterns. But, and this is where I think, you know, I've really been trying to focus people's attention lately, is that a lot of the problem we're having right now is the result of really decades of bad labor, trade, and the transportation policy in the United States. You mentioned the ports, right? So look, it's actually, I think the Biden administration actually doing what they can at this point by going out to the Los Angeles Long Beach port, which is the busiest port in the United States by far, handles like 40% of all import-export traffic that the country takes in every year. And trying to get them to work 24/7. Now, the first question we have to ask, though, is why the heck weren't these guys operating 24/7 before the crisis and even just 6 months ago? Ports in Europe and Asia work 24/7 because factories work 24/7 and supply chains run 24/7. So, and you can't just flip a switch here. You know, the estimates from the experts say that we might, that this isn't going to help on the margins, but it's only going to help maybe a 3%, I think is the number I saw, in terms of container flows and traffic. The reality is that U.S. ports, primarily through the efforts of longshoremen unions on the West Coast and the East Coast, have not automated over the last 20 years or so. And so, and of course, union contracts, because the unions have immense leverage, particularly on the West Coast. If the unions have a strike, the entire West Coast port system shuts down, which obviously has ramifications not only for the ports, but for the U.S. economy more broadly. And this is, these strikes have happened in the past. Slowdowns happen too. And so that leverage they've used to, essentially get contract provisions that ban automating the ports, so making our ports more efficient, have labor schedules, work schedules that are really rigid and inflexible. So we just talked about 24/7. No way, not doing that. And of course, have wages and salaries that are, look, I mean, it's great if you're a port worker, but $200,000 a year for working a U.S. port is going to obviously, which is kind of the going rate for a lot of port workers, unionized port workers. That's just going to put immense pressure on port authorities. They're just not going to want to hire, right?
So, Scott, you know, so obviously the port issues are a major issue. We've got trucking issues. We've got the supply chain bottlenecks. How much of the inflation that we're seeing is purely the supply chain bottleneck, and how much of it is monetary policy that's been pursued by both the past administration and this one? During the pandemic, we've blown enormous sums of money into the economy. We're keeping interest rates at basically zero. We've used the Federal Reserve as the lawmaker of last resort here for years at this point. So how much of this is the supply chain bottleneck that at some point will probably alleviate? And how much of this is actual monetary and fiscal policy that is going to be continuous?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it really is the bottlenecks and the supply chain issues. But it's also, I think, undeniable that we have injected a ton of cash, a ton of demand into the system. And that's putting pressure on it, too. You know, the way that I try to describe it is, you have a fire hose of demand trying to go through a pinhole of supply, right? And it's inevitably going to create a lot of pressures on prices. The big question we have, I think, going forward is, to what extent are non-supply chain things starting to bubble up? And there is some evidence of that, right? So, you know, if you look at things like rents and, of course, wages, but also producer prices and the rest, there are some indications that we're getting what I would call non-supply chain things starting to push prices up. The big question, and I honestly, we just don't know at this point, is that whether these pressures are going to recede. You know, the Fed is going to taper its bond purchases in November and December. And it's the question is whether, you know, those types of non-supply chain factors are going to alleviate kind of fall back next year, or they're not. And quite frankly, you know, I think the best position for the Fed is one of humility, right? I mean, that we just, it's not that clear. And unfortunately, so far their predictions have been pretty off base. I mean, transitory originally was going to be 2-3 months. Then it was, December, you know, and now they're saying, oh, well, maybe, you know, mid 2022. Right.
Right.
So, you know, at what point does transitory not become transitory anymore? And at what point do these things get more locked in?
We're speaking with Scott Linscombe. He's a Cato Institute senior fellow. So, Scott, we've seen the stat that I think is shocking everybody is how many people are dropping out of the workforce. We've seen a huge number of people dropping out of the workforce. We've got 10.4 million open jobs in the country. 4.3 million people have dropped out of the workforce since February of 2020, despite new reports that there are 40% of Americans who feel somewhat financially insecure, and nobody can seem to figure out why people are dropping out of the workforce, especially with the unemployment benefits that were being paid by Democrats to keep people home. Those are waning. You know, it does seem like there is something ideological going on here in that basically the American public acclimated very quickly to being paid to stay home over the course of the last year and a half, and a lot of people are not all that eager to get back up off their couch, apparently.
Yeah, there was a great Wall Street Journal piece yesterday on a lot of the issues you just described. And I think that it's critical to note that some of this is just natural, right? And I hate to say again, the pandemic doing its thing, but look, the pandemic did push either voluntarily or involuntarily a lot of people in their, say, 50s into early retirement. Retirements are way up. Compared to what we expected, even with demographics, with the boomers and stuff. And then look, quite frankly, not to be too morbid, but, 700,000 deaths, even, not all of those were people in the workforce, but there's going to be pressures there too, and people who are still sick. Economist Peter Bachvar wrote this really excellent piece on how that equates to what they call years of life lost, YLLs, and puts pressure on the workforce, puts pressure on demand and the economy more broadly. So those are kind of pandemic related things. But like you said, government benefits are still happening. That's the other thing that I think is important. And the journal hit on this a little bit. Sure, supplemental UI has gone away, but you have expanded child tax credits that are now coming in monthly, and that can be quite substantial. For families with small children, $3,600 a year times a couple kids. You still have a rent moratoria in place in many states, even though the CDC's national one has expired. You have, previous stimulus checks.
Yes.
And previous stimulus checks and the rest. And so when you add all this up, look, I think there still is some of that kind of weighing on the labor market that's going to need to work itself out. But finally, it's really important, like you said, to note that there is maybe something more systemic happening here, where whether it is dual earner families or whether it is single guys just wanting to take a break, who knows? But some people are just deciding that they don't want to work. They're just going to kind of skate by with money they've saved or on a single earner family, you name it. And those labor force pressures, I think, are only growing. And I'd be remiss not to note, we also are down about, per Goldman Sachs, 500,000 or so immigrants in terms of visa restrictions that we haven't let in the last year and a half. And there's also finally this geographic mismatch. I mean, there are people who might be, let's say, you're still in a big urban city that's still partially closed down because people aren't going to the office. You might live there, but job openings might be in the suburbs, 100 miles away. So there's some of that going on too. So there's a ton of these weird frictions. I don't think anybody knows where we're going to be in, say, 6-8 months in terms of labor force participation.
I mean, I do wonder, Scott, whether, again, this is a bit of a mindset problem that's also being pushed by our politicians, who have basically made the promise to people over the last year and a half that no matter what your problems are, we will help you fix them and we will pay for you to stay home. And the reason I say that is because the people who are staying out of the workforce are generally not middle to upper income people who can, quote unquote, afford to stay out of the workforce. You're seeing an enormous number of people staying out of the workforce who are either retiring because they're hitting retirement age or who are, as you say, younger and lower income, actually.
Yeah.
Right. And if the number of people who are staying out are younger or lower income, at some point you have to say maybe this is because we have been pushing the idea that redistribution is the wave of the future. I mean, you have Paul Krugman openly celebrating this. I mean, Paul Krugman has an article out today saying that people leaving the workforce is a good thing because it's pushing up wages, never mind the fact that inflation is outpacing any wage increases that we've seen this year. So it ain't that great. But you're seeing, I think that this may be the fruition of a push from major Democrats over the past, several decades, actually, to suggest that work itself is a bad thing and needs to be rethought. I mean, you remember Nancy Pelosi suggesting about Obamacare that it was going to free people up from job lock so they could go and be artists and musicians and philosopher kings. And AOC saying that we need to make it so that people who are either unable or unwilling to work are taken care of. And whether people are saying, okay, well, there's so many jobs available and there's so many benefits available, I can afford to sit this one out.
Yeah, it is a really interesting moment. And I don't quite frankly know where people's minds are going to be when the gravy train slows or stops. I think we're going to know a lot more in a few months, but it's undoubtedly true that, it's kind of an odd celebration right now that, labor force participation is in the toilet. Now, I will say that, you know, some of this, if it is, say, a dual earner family and the mom decides to stay home with the kids.
That's not bad, right?
Or the dad, I don't care. I think that's fine. What we need to figure out is whether, like you said, it's not that. It's like the single dude living in his parents' basement or his friend's couch, and just kind of skating by on that. And again, the journal piece that I mentioned is excellent because they actually talk to people who are actually doing exactly these types of things. And, does that mindset, like you said, lock in, or is this just temporary because people are just exhausted because of all this COVID stuff?
And I do wonder whether, this lies behind this sort of attempt to push the shift is what is lying behind this massive stimulus plan that Biden is trying to push forward, this huge spending bill. I think that there's a fundamental redefinition of what people want economics to mean on the left side of the aisle, which is why you've got Pramila Jayapal and company and Bernie Sanders and Biden pushing for $3.5 trillion of spending to lock in these vast welfare schemes. This is an attempt, I think, on the back of the pandemic to basically get people used to the quote-unquote new normal isn't about mask wearing. The quote-unquote new normal is about you don't have to take a job that you don't want to take at a price you don't want to take it, and we are going to somehow fill in that gap for you via whether it is the Federal Reserve making money really cheap, yeah, or whether it is the redistributive programs of the federal government seizing money via taxes and future debt and just paying you to stay home.
Yeah, I remember reading, I read the Politico playbook each morning or most mornings, and I remember one of the quotes that I was stunned by when the reconciliation bill was first getting debated, and this was from Democratic leadership, and I can't remember which one, and they openly described it as cradle to grave welfare state, which, used to be like I'm old enough to know that was like a Republican attack line. And now they're definitely embracing it, which, I think does raise some pretty significant concerns about, people's motivations to get back in the labor force and, then broader things for the economy.
That's Scott Linscombe from the Cato Institute, senior fellow in economic studies. Really appreciate your time, Scott, and your insight. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
All righty. Coming up, we'll get into the Netflix employees who are walking off the job because they are mad at Dave Chappelle. Yeah, that's going to work. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact you got to keep your data safe. Now, whenever you are online, you are using your personal data all the time, credit card numbers, you've got your social security number being used, you got your emails, all that stuff is your business. Why would you allow anybody else access to that data? It's your data. Well, here's the thing. Your ISP can be grabbing that data and then selling it. You can have hackers who are able to access that data. Just hide your activity by going to ExpressVPN. There are hundreds of data brokers out there. Their sole business is to buy and sell your data. The worst part, they don't have to tell you who they're selling it to or get your consent. One of the data points is your IP address. Data harvesters can use that to uniquely identify you and your location. But ExpressVPN reroutes my connection through an encrypted server, and my IP address is masked. That makes it more difficult for third parties to identify me and harvest my data. The best part is how easy ExpressVPN is to use. No matter what device you're on, phone, laptop, smart TV, all you have to do is tap one button and you will be protected. So if, like me, you believe your data is your business, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN on the market. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben today. Get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, Netflix employees walking off the job because they're mad about Dave Chappelle. Think that one's going to work? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Netflix employees are now walking off the job. They're so mad that Dave Chappelle told jokes. It's super bad. I am amused that none of the Netflix employees walked off the job when Netflix pushed that movie Cuties that really had, like, tight close-ups of the small bums of tiny children. And then no Netflix people walking off the jobs there. But Dave Chappelle said that gender exists and men are men and women are women. That's bad. According to the Wall Street Journal, tensions are rising inside Netflix over a Dave Chappelle stand-up comedy that some employees said was offensive to the trans community. The latest clash between the streaming giant's radical counterculture and its embrace of creative freedom. A Netflix transgender employee group is encouraging staff to stage a walkout next Wednesday to protest co-chief executive and chief content officer Ted Sarandos' recent defense of Chappelle. The plans for a walkout were earlier reported by The Verge and confirmed by Netflix. In the closer, Chappelle said, quote, gender is a fact, and said he identified as a TERF, an acronym that stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. Chappelle said he isn't a favorite of the trans community, then added, someone told me, they after you, Dave, and I said, one they or many theys. A day after the special's release, Tara Field, a Netflix software engineer who is transgender, criticized the show on Twitter, saying Chappelle, quote, attacked the trans community and the very validity of transness. The tweets went viral, led to a backlash inside the streaming giant over the special. Groups, including the LGBTQ rights advocacy group GLAAD, spoke up against the show. The National Black Justice Coalition asked for Netflix to take the special down. On Monday, Sarandos issued a company-wide email defending the special and saying the service would not pull it down. Sarandos said the company works hard to support creative freedom, and this means, quote, there will always be content on Netflix some people believe is harmful. He also said he didn't think the special incites hate or violence. Chappelle has a long-standing relationship with Netflix, having made multiple specials for the streaming service. In the end credits of The Closer, there's a picture of Chappelle and Sarandos laughing together. Addressing the criticism, Chappelle said, if this is what being canceled is like, I love it. Netflix said Field was not being punished for her tweets, but she, he, biological male, and two other employees got into hot water at Netflix when they attended an online meeting of senior Netflix executives last week without permission. The trio was suspended but promptly reinstated, according to Netflix. So apparently you're allowed to literally barge into executive meetings so long as you have the proper social justice credentials. Let me just tell you, at this company, if you randomly barge into a meeting of the executives just to yell at us, you will be expecting your unemployment check soon. Field said Netflix told her it appeared there was no ill intent on her part and that she was unaware that the meeting was only for senior staffers of the company. Uh-huh. Netflix, then why did she show up? Or he? Netflix stands in contrast to traditional studios and networks where it is rare for employees to question content decisions, much less to take to social media to negatively criticize those choices. At Netflix, radical candor and transparency are encouraged within the company's hallways and meetings. This isn't the first time a Chappelle special has caused anger inside Netflix. So here is the thing. Do I trust that Netflix is actually cracking down on the cancel culture? No, I do not. I think the reason they did this is because Chappelle is really big. I think that if Chappelle were not really big, they would cancel it. So here is the test for me. Next time Netflix hosts any piece of content that is smaller, that doesn't get tons of viewers, and trans radicals decide that they want Netflix to throw the content off the platform, will Cerenzo stand up, or is it just all about the cash? I think we all know the answer to this. In the same way that it's all about the cash for the Ben and Jerry's guys to keep their shops open in Georgia but close them down in Israel, it is all about the cash for Ted Sarandos to keep Dave Chappelle. I really don't think you should be expecting a Steven Crowder special on Netflix anytime soon, even if it would be big. Because after all, you got to please your constituency. Alrighty, we have reached the end of this week. Make sure you rest up over the weekend. We will be back here on Monday to recap whatever carnage takes place over the weekend. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Justice Department says it will call on the Supreme Court to block the Texas abortion law.
The DOJ announcement came just hours after a federal appeals court ruled in favor of the Texas statute, which limits abortions. A three-judge panel for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled late Thursday night in favor of SB 8, banning abortion after 6 weeks. The Texas law has been in place since September 1st, when in a 5-4 ruling, the Supreme Court declined to stop it from going into effect. Bob Agner reporting.
Biden administration plans to reinstate a Trump-era border policy.
The Justice Department says beginning next month, asylum seekers will have to wait in Mexico for hearings in U.S. immigration court, complying with a judge's order. The Mexican government, which has raised concerns that U.S. officials are working to address, must give its approval. About 70,000 asylum seekers have been subject to the Remain in Mexico policy, which President Trump introduced in January 2019, and which President Biden suspended on his first day in office. Mike Hemp in Washington.
Also at townhall.com, Americans continue to spend at a solid clip in September, despite rising prices and snarled global supply chains are limiting the flow of goods.
The Commerce Department says retail sales rose a seasonally adjusted 0.7% in September from the month before. Consensus estimates were for a decrease of 0.5%, according to a survey of economists by FactSet. Sales at clothing and accessory stores rose 1.1%, while online sales were up 0.6%.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Gasoline stations reporting sales rose 1.8%. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and caring for your home just got easier. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or a dream remodel, Angie makes it easy to see reviews, compare quotes, and connect with top local pros who can get the job done right. Plus, you can see upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. No phone tabs, just the work you need done at a time that works for you. Angie's got your to-do list covered from start to finish. Book your next home project today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Authorities in Taiwan setting up an independent commission to investigate the conditions of a building in which a fire claimed 46 lives.
Authorities are still searching for the source of the blaze as they scour the blackened building in the port city of Kaohsiung in Taiwan. Outside, a Taoist priest in traditional robes chanted a prayer for those who died. Many of the dead were elderly or infirm residents who weren't able to escape the 13-story building in time after the fire broke out on the ground floor. Li Maosheng, who lives in the building opposite, was mourning the loss of lives. No more friend now. My friend was living there. I had one friend in that building, and now he is dead. I'm Karen Chamas.
Firefighters making progress in getting the upper hand on a blaze in the coastal mountains of Southern California. Fire west of Santa Barbara now has been contained to about 41%. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Well, NASA is set to launch a series of spacecraft to visit and even bash some of the solar system's most enticing space rocks. Correspondent Ed Donahoe reports the first launch early Saturday.
A robotic spacecraft named Lucy is up first.
Lucy will set the record for the furthest solar-powered mission, traveling five times further from the sun than the Earth.
Systems engineer Jessica Lounsbury says it will go on a 12-year cruise to swarms of asteroids out near Jupiter. Kathy Okun with the Southwestern Research Institute says there are a lot of missions for Lucy.
One of them is to map the craters across our surfaces, the surface of the Trojan asteroids. We're going to look for craters smaller than a football field, about 70 yards across.
On Wall Street Friday, the Dow was up 382 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Dr. C.A. Dingy was a dentist who lived approximately north of Middletown at Fort Dingy, named by him. He was buried in the Middleton Cemetery in a coffin filled with salt, his Bible, and a bottle of whiskey, all at his request. Winter rains brought the salt to the surface, causing deer and cattle to dig for it. To remedy the problem, a load of bricks was placed on top of the grave to protect it. Another interesting dentist was Dr. James Winsell, who settled beside Battle Creek near today's Coleman Fish Hatchery in 1852 on what was the Rancho de Brasgau Mexican land grant. A large ditch carried water out to Battle Creek at his place and transported it to the Balls Ferry flour mill at Balls Ferry, where it was used to turn the large water wheel. The ditch still exists and is used mainly for irrigation. Want more Dottie? Go to the Shasta Historical Society.
Pushing. And at that point, Joe Biden's agenda is basically dead until after the midterms and probably beyond that, because the midterms don't look like they're shaping up well for him. So everyone is focusing in on Loudoun County. Our reporter Luke Rosiak over in Loudoun County has been doing an unbelievable job of uncovering the predations of the school board in Loudoun County and the Democratic Party infrastructure in places like Virginia and Loudoun County with regard to school boards. By the way, the kind of work that Luke is doing, that's really expensive and difficult work that can only happen because of our Daily Wire members. If you're already a member, thank you for making that happen, because honestly, your membership helped pay for Luke. But if you're not a member, you really should join up and help our reporters do the kind of work that Luke is doing. It's making a huge difference out there. Head on over to Daily Wire right now and grab a membership. Obviously, this has become a flashpoint because the National School Board Union came out and basically requested that the FBI and DOJ investigate people who are going to school board meetings and sounding off on how the school boards were not doing their job in terms of educating and protecting their kids. Well, the biggest story of the last couple of months came out via Luke a little bit earlier this week. That was the story surrounding a father who was made the face of the quote-unquote domestic terror movement by the national media. It turns out that that father was royally ticked off at one of these meetings, not because he was a domestic terrorist, but because, as it turns out, there's fairly good evidence, and he alleges that his daughter was raped in a public school bathroom by a bisexual boy wearing a skirt. and that the Loudoun County School Board refused to acknowledge that the sexual assault had even taken place, which might piss off even the best of us. And so this became a national story. Well, now it turns out there is even more. According to Luke Rosiak this morning, Loudoun County Public Schools did not record multiple known incidents of alleged sexual assault in schools dating back several years, despite a law that requires statistics about school safety incidents to be reported to the public and which includes provisions holding school superintendents personally liable for violations, a Daily Wire review of public records found. After the Daily Wire raised the discrepancy with the Virginia Department of Education, the VDOE spokesman, Charles Pyle, said VDOE is reviewing the discipline, crime, and violence data submissions of Loudoun County Public Schools and is in communication with LCPS to determine whether the division's reporting is accurate and whether the division is in compliance with state and federal law. The same law could have implications for a Loudoun County superintendent or principal in the wake of a May 28th alleged sexual assault in a bathroom, an incident first reported by the Daily Wire on Monday. On June 22nd, Superintendent Scott Ziegler told the public, quote, "To my knowledge, we don't have any record of assaults occurring in our bathrooms. Virginia law requires that reports shall be made to the division superintendent and to the principal or his designee on all incidents involving sexual assault." The Daily Wire asked LCPS questions last week, including, quote, "Has Stone Bridge ever reported the May alleged sexual assault in any statistics or made anyone aware of it?" LCPS hid behind state law, with Director of Communications Joan Salgren replying, quote, "Any information related to student information is confidential under state and federal laws regarding student privacy. However, state law actually requires statistics on assault and other incidents in schools to be reported to the public in the form of annually updated statistics available on a public database called Safe Schools Information Resource, administered by the Virginia Department of Education." In other words, the school board and the school does not have to report to the public the name of the people involved, the juveniles involved, but they do have to report the numbers. LCPS reported to the state that Stonebridge had zero sexual assaults for the 2020 to 2021 school year, which includes May 28, 2021. Virginia law says the division superintendent shall annually report all such incidents to the DOE for the purpose of recording the frequency of such incidents on forms that shall be provided to the department and shall make such information available to the public. The issue with missing sex assault statistics in Loudoun is not limited to the latest case, raising the prospect that untold numbers of sexual assaults and other infractions have gone unreported. In October 2018, in a case that was widely reported by the media at the time, three football players at Tuscarora High were arrested and charged with sexual assault. A source told local media it's believed the younger player was held down by teammates who inserted objects into the victim in a locker room. A spokesperson for LCPS said at the time, the case will be subject to disciplinary action. The annual report for Tuscarora that year reported zero instances of sexual offenses against students. LCPS provided no response at all to the Daily Wire's questions about the reason for the zero figures despite having 2 days to do so. While the suspect in the May 28th alleged assault was not arrested until July 8th, following the conclusion of an investigation, police officers were present at the school that day, law enforcement was notified, and a police report was filed, though it was not clear who filed the report. Pyle, the state spokesman, said that the SSSR's mandatory reporting is not contingent on the filing of charges by law enforcement or subsequent convictions. In other words, if this was reported to the cops, that just means that it has to be reported in the stats. But it wasn't reported in the stats. Additionally, the safety stats for that school year were not due to the state until July 16th. And in the case of Tuscarora, the school year did not end until months after the incident and arrest, yet the district still reported zero and has for every single year since. On Wednesday, LCPS put out a statement. It did not send it to the Daily Wire. It said, quote, "Loudoun County Sheriff's Office was contacted within minutes of receiving the initial report on May 28th. Once a matter has been reported to law enforcement, LCPS does not begin its investigation until law enforcement advises LCPS it has completed the criminal investigation. Furthermore, we can't discipline any student without following Title IX grievance processes." But an email from Stonebridge Principal Tim Flynn, which was sent to the entire community at 4:48 the day of the alleged rape, told students and parents that, quote, "There was an incident in the main office area today that required the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office to dispatch deputies to Stonebridge." This corresponds to the story offered by Scott Smith, the victim's father, who said the police arrived because the school called them on him for making a scene about his impression it was not treating the incident seriously. So this is a disaster area for Loudoun County. If it turns out that the Loudoun County schools have not been reporting the stats on sexual assault to the public, just another indicator that when you have institutions that are very powerful, they have every incentive to cover up all of the bad things happening within those institutions. And this is true across institutions. People develop institutional loyalty when they work for those institutions. They don't want to report the bad stuff happening inside the institutions. And that's how you end up with children being put in danger. Now, for the left, they don't care, apparently, if those children are put in danger by the public schools. And there are a wide variety of cases in which teachers have made prey out of their students in public schools across the country. Those statistics are, in fact, somewhat available. It's a national story when it's the Catholic Church. It's not a national story when it turns out that it's the public school system, obviously, even though there are many, many more members of the public school system in the United States than there are members of the Catholic Church who are subject to priest predation. There's certainly an ideological component here. And meanwhile, the family of that girl who's allegedly raped in her school bathroom is now pursuing civil action against the Loudoun County Public Schools under Title IX. So there will, in fact, be a lawsuit. The parents of the young girl stated, quote, subsequent to the sexual assault on our daughter, Loudoun County Public Schools formalized the policy regarding restroom use that was easily exploitable by a potential sexual assailant. Because of poor planning and misguided policies, Loudoun schools failed to institute even minimal safeguards to protect students from sexual assault. The lawyer for the family says the conduct of Loudoun County Schools and the Loudoun School Board directly resulted in the brutal rape of Smith's daughter at Stonebridge High. It only takes an instant to see how Loudoun County Schools have adversely affected this family and have harmed their daughter. So all of this has resulted in some pretty bad news for Terry McAuliffe, who's running for governor of Virginia and who is completely in hock to the teachers' unions in the state of Virginia. He was asked yesterday about whether parents should be in charge of education. And this, of course, remains a major issue right across the country. Parents would like to be in charge of their children's education. Public schools are delegated your kids to educate them in the ways that you see fit. They're not delegated to the power to educate them solely as they see fit. Because, frankly, they are not qualified to do so nor empowered to do so. That is not the purpose of local public schools. And the federalization of the process has made this worse. It's created a massive disconnect between the bureaucrats who are supposed to educate your children and you. This is why, increasingly, parents are taking their kids out of the public schools, putting them in private schools, homeschooling them, trying to find charter schools, doing anything they can to remove the monopoly on indoctrination now provided by liberal teachers' unions and the state-run schooling system. And so Terry McAuliffe was asked about all of this because he had said in open debate with Glenn Youngkin in Virginia that parents essentially have no interest in the education of their kids. It's really the state's job to educate the kids. Here is Terry McAuliffe erupting when asked about it.
Who do you think should be in control of education if not Virginia parents?
Vaccinated yet? That's the question I want to know.
Who do you think should be in control of education if not Virginia parents?
Governor, was it a mistake? You're dangerous here. I'll build education. That's why Fox News has me leading. Glenn Youngkin destroyed Virginia's education system.
What a joke Terry McAuliffe is. What a joke. So he's asked whether parents should be in control of education. And he starts lecturing the guy about a mask. They're standing outside. He's literally walking to his car. If you can't see the clip, he's literally walking to his car and just yelling at this reporter, saying that he should be wearing a mask. And then he says, I'll take care of education. Glenn Youngkin will destroy it. Yeah, sure. Sure. So Terry McAuliffe is in real trouble in this race. Okay, this should not be a close race. The Virginia political map has been turning blue for quite a while right now. The results in Virginia in the 2020 election were heavily in favor, of course, of Hillary, in favor of Joe Biden. Joe Biden won the state by 10 points in 2020. Right now, Youngkin, who's a relative no-name, is running neck and neck with Terry McAuliffe, a former Virginia governor. It's the fact that this is even close is a referendum on how bad people think Democratic governance is, even in Democratic states. This has relegated Terry McAuliffe to basically trying to treat Glenn Youngkin as though he is Donald Trump and also Greg Abbott, which, of course, is not true. Here is Terry McAuliffe trying to say that Glenn Youngkin is going to ban abortion in the state of Virginia, which, of course, is not going to happen. I mean, unfortunately, from my point of view, but that's not what's going to happen in the state of Virginia.
I protected women's rights. He is going to ban abortions. We got him on tape saying that. Wants to ban abortions in Virginia. And I'll tell you, Andrew, that's a real issue for everyone today. For 50 years, we thought the Supreme Court would protect everybody with Roe v. Wade. Trump Supreme Court, if Glenn Youngkin is elected governor of Virginia, abortions will cease. And I got to tell you, it's dangerous for women, dangerous for doctors, and you can't bring businesses. I've recruited Amazon to Virginia. They're not coming to a state that discriminates.
He's having a really tough time, McAuliffe, putting a target on Youngkin's back, because McAuliffe is the issue here, not Trump and not Youngkin. And when it comes to education, Americans have very simple questions to ask, like, why are you guys doing an unbelievably crappy job? Brand new report out says the nation's 13-year-olds are less proficient in math and reading than they were almost a decade ago. That is not because of the COVID pandemic. That was data collected before the start of the pandemic and released on Thursday, according to the National Assessment of Education Progress. This is Politico reporting. This is the first time these scores have dropped in either subject in the 50-year history of the test. The students who struggle the most with the exam have fallen further behind, a worrisome result that suggests learning loss exacerbated by the pandemic could be catastrophic. Math scores fell furthest among students whose performance ranked in the 10th and 25th percentiles, meaning test takers with the lowest math scores in 2020 did worse than students who struggled the most when the test was last administered in 2012. The data also shows the achievement gap between white and black test takers widened. Nationally, math scores for 13-year-olds fell on average by 5 points. Reading scores declined on average 3 points. None of these results are impressive, said the commissioner of the National Center for Education Statistics. They're all concerning. The math results were particularly daunting. So basically, your schools are failing to educate kids, particularly the kids who are at the lowest end of the spectrum. And meanwhile, they're indoctrinating them in all the worst values and not protecting them. And you wonder why we have a schools crisis right now? You wonder why so many parents are interested in pulling their kids out of school? And you wonder why so many people are looking askance at Democratic administrations who seem solely concerned with pleasing teachers' unions? You wonder why so many Americans are upset with maybe the FBI and the DOJ doing the bidding of the very people who are failing to educate their kids and then claiming complete plenary authority over those children? None of this is good news for Democrats, obviously. More of this in just one moment. First, let's talk about a simple fact. If you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance for your family. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Getting started, super simple. First, head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro in minutes. You can work out just how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius does not add on extra fees. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and very important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden's administration is having a rough time, but Joe Biden is here to tell you that his COVID plan is working anyway. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden says that his plan to quash COVID is working. Yes, yes. It was them. They did it. It was the mandatory vaccine mandate. Sure, it was that. So yesterday, Joe Biden wandered out to a microphone and he spoke for a grand total of 7 minutes and then he turned around and then he left. Okay, so, I mean, that's all he can be expected to do. Like, he shows up every day. He talks for like 37 seconds and then he sort of collapses out of the room. And is dragged back to his casket where they perform some sort of resuscitatory action upon him. And then he breathes lightly until the next day when they pull him out of the casket again and wheel him out. So President Biden yesterday, he came out and he said, our plan is working. Oh, interesting. Okay, explain, Mr. President.
I want to provide a brief update on my plan that announced in early September to accelerate the path out of this pandemic. It's working. We're making progress. Nationally, daily cases are down 47%. Hospitalizations are down 38% over the past 6 weeks. Over the past 2 weeks, most of the country has improved as well. Case rates are declining in 39 states, and hospital rates are declining in 38 states.
Okay, let me point out how stupid this is. Okay, the reason that this is unbelievably stupid is because there are several reasons. Reason number one. The states that have seen the largest scale declines are states that have completely ignored Joe Biden. And Florida never had vaccine mandates. In fact, Ron DeSantis has been fighting vaccine mandates pretty much every step of the way and has vaccination rates that are about the same as the vaccination rates in California, for example. They're not wildly different. Hey, Joe Biden is suggesting that it is him yelling about vaccines that has caused the pandemic to wane, that old man shouting at clouds made the pandemic wane. Nope. All that happened is that the pandemic hits populations who spend lots of times indoors, and then it wanes because it passes through the population. This is what pandemics do. But this is Joe Biden's tried and true method, right? There's a parade already moving. He jumps out in front of it and claims credit for the parade. He did this with the vaccine rollout itself. He didn't have one iota to do with the development of the vaccine. His vaccine rollout plan was the same as Trump's. And now he's doing the exact same thing. So the pandemic wanes, mostly in red states where it had spiked. And he's like, look what I did. And Joe, look at me. I'm great at that. Amazing. Amazing how he jumps in. This is constantly the policy of bad bureaucrats, is that the problem already starts to solve itself and then they jump in front of it and they go, oh, it was me. I did it. Okay, so according to Joe Biden solved the pandemic by yelling at clouds. Okay, in reality, his plan has not worked. It is also worthy of noting at this point that all the vaccine mandates that he supposedly used in order to get the vaccine rates up, the only one that has actually been implemented to this point is the federal contractor mandate. So to credit his vaccine mandates with the uptick in vaccination rates is a stretch in and of itself. It is quite possible that one of the reasons you saw an uptick in vaccination rates is specifically because people looked at the Delta variant. They said, okay, I now have a choice. I can either get Delta or not get Delta. I prefer not to get Delta. I prefer to get the vaccine. And then if I get a breakthrough case, it'll be mild. But again, Joe Biden's going to claim credit for everything. Now, what's amazing about Joe Biden and our current authoritarians is that they truly believe that you are bad. You are divisive because you refuse their authoritarian mandates. This is an incredible statement from Joe Biden, what we're about to play. So Joe Biden is talking about divisiveness. Now, Joe Biden came into office on the pledge that he was going to unify. He instead has proposed an agenda that looks very much like Bernie Sanders' economic agenda. And he's proposed a COVID agenda that is full top-down authoritarian in many ways. And so he has completely run beyond his own political mandate. Right? His political mandate was to be not Trump and to be dead. And he has fulfilled one of those promises. It was to be not Trump, not dead. Sorry, not that guy. He had a political mandate. So Joe Biden came into office with a political mandate. It was to be dead, right, not alive, not Trump, and moderate. Two of those three he has fulfilled. He is dead, he is not Trump, but he is certainly not moderate. And yet, according to Joe Biden, it is you who are dividing the country. You won't listen to him, and you won't do what he wants. You're dividing the country. Now, I noted this literally the day of his inauguration. In his speech, he kept talking about unity, and I said, well, there are two types of unity. There's unity in the sense that we'll leave you alone, and then we'll try to find some higher purpose we can all pursue together. But it's mostly going to be us leaving you alone, right? Unity requires us to go weapons down. Or unity could be, you do exactly what I want at point of gun, and now we're unified, aren't we? It's pretty obvious which way Joe Biden has moved. So yesterday, here he was saying that vaccine mandates should not divide us. I have an idea. Don't do them then.
Let's be clear. Vaccination requirements should not be another issue that divides us. That's why we continue to battle the misinformation that's out there. And companies and communities are stepping up as well to combat the misinformation. Southwest Airlines, the head of the pilots union and its CEO, dismissed critics who claim vaccination mandates contributed to flight disruptions.
Well, who are you going to believe? Joe Biden about the vaccine mandates contributing to flight disruptions? Or your own lying eyes, which demonstrate that there was really no weather problem in the United States and Southwest was the only airline that had been significantly affected. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get into some of the reasons why Joe Biden's claim that he quashed COVID is really, really stupid. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com with Carl and Linda Bach.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What do your neighbors say about the Fountain Wind Project?
The Fountain Wind Project is near and dear to my heart. We need more electric producing facilities.
The job creation, the money that's going to go to Shasta County from the tax revenues, the construction jobs that are going to benefit all of our businesses, you know, that's the heart of this.
The project is predicted to generate over $50 million. Fountain Wind is bringing high-paying jobs to this area, not just for the construction period, but long after.
I support what wind and energy brings to us as a community, as a state, as a country, in the world.
We all know right now fire prevention and fuels reduction are key topics, and especially in the area that we live in. So join me in helping to see the Fountain Wind Project come to fruition.
Join your neighbors and support Fountain Wind to bring increased fire prevention, $50 million in tax revenue, and clean energy to Shasta County.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Sponsored by Save the Children.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden is claiming that he killed COVID. There's only one problem. He didn't. It is pretty obvious that whatever surge we had and waning we had had nothing to do with Joe Biden. According to the New York Times, after a brutal summer surge driven by the highly contagious Delta variant, the coronavirus is again in retreat. The United States is recording roughly 90,000 new infections a day, down more than 40% since August. Hospitalizations and deaths are falling too. The crisis is not over everywhere. The situation in Alaska is particularly dire, but nationally the trend is clear and hopes are rising that the worst is finally behind us. Again, over the past 2 years, the pandemic has crashed over the country in waves, inundating hospitals and then receding, only to return after Americans let their guard down. I love how the New York Times puts that. So it's that Americans let their guard down that causes the pandemic to spike, except that it's spiking in blue areas too. It is all about, are you in proximity to other people? When it's cold outside, people go inside and then they get infected. When it's really hot outside, people go inside and then they get infected. Okay, that's all. And this baseline notion that if you get infected, it's because you have been sinful in some way is ridiculous. A lot of the people who are getting infected are people who got vaxxed. They're just getting breakthroughs. The New York Times says it's difficult to tease apart the reasons the virus ebbs and flows in this way, and harder still to predict the future. No, it's actually not all that difficult to explain. I just did it in two sentences. As winter looms, there are real reasons for optimism. Nearly 70% of adults are fully vaccinated. Many children under 12 are likely to be eligible for their shots in a matter of weeks. Federal regulators could soon authorize the first antiviral pill for COVID-19. Okay, by the way, Joe Biden said yesterday that parents are going to sleep more solidly at night, knowing that their children won't be in danger because of the vaccine. Those of us who've been watching the stats have been sleeping solidly at night about our kids. Prolonged. I wasn't sleeping solidly about my parents. My parents are 65. I've been sleeping very solidly about my 7-, 5-, and 1-year-old because kids aren't dying of this in anything remotely like significant numbers. Okay, that is not morally significant numbers. Every kid who dies is a morally significant life. But if you're talking about statistical significance, the grand total number of kids who have died in the United States from COVID-19 without serious pre-existing conditions, according to Dr. Marty McCarry of Johns Hopkins University, is currently between 10 and 20. Not 10 and 20,000, 10 and 20. Hey, that is not the kind of thing that keeps me awake at night. I am not kept awake at night by the fact that my child is in significant danger if 10 to 20 kids across a country of 330 million people have died of COVID without pre-existing conditions. Okay, but again, you must be cudgeled into the belief that these people have solved the problem as opposed to, you know, the virus just doing what the virus does. And my favorite thing about all of this is that we're supposed to believe all these folks, right? You heard Joe Biden a moment ago talking about how, you know, none of this should be divisive. We should just be listening to our authorities. We should be listening to our institutions, except that our institutions have routinely lied to us. Aside from Dr. Anthony Fauci, who shifts his opinion every 5.3 seconds, depending on whatever Joe Biden wants from him that day, our media are just liars. So honestly, one of the funniest things that I've seen in the past couple of months, Joe Rogan did a segment with Sanjay Gupta of CNN. And honestly, flower to Gupta's widow, because Rogan just destroyed him. It really is quite incredible. He had Gupta on and he asked him, Sanjay, I have a question. I took ivermectin. It is not a horse dewormer. It is a medication. Your entire network claimed that it was a horse dewormer. Why don't you tell the members of your network it is not a horse dewormer and tell them to stop lying to people? So then Sanjay Gupta went back on TV on CNN and he had his chance and he said nothing because he's getting paid by CNN. So here's Don Lemon trying to explain it's fine to call ivermectin a horse dewormer, even though that is not the form of ivermectin that Joe Rogan was taking.
I know it's in large part a tongue-in-cheek interview, you know, because it's Joe Rogan and there's lots of, you're jockeying back and forth. But he did say something about ivermectin that I think wasn't actually correct about CNN and lying, okay? Ivermectin is a drug that is commonly used as a horse dewormer. So it is not a lie to say that the drug is used as a horse dewormer. I think that's important, and it is not approved for COVID. Correct?
That's right.
That's not right. It's not approved for COVID by the FDA, but the notion that ivermectin, which comes in a variety of forms, that was that Joe Rogan was like taking a tube of horse paste and then ingesting it, is insane. And Sanjay Gupta admitted that to Joe Rogan, and then he went on CNN, and then he nodded along while Don Lemon continues to lie about it. It's unreal. But don't worry. You should trust. These are not the divisive people. They are not. You are divisive. You're divisive for not listening to them. Meanwhile, these experts, the one who are going to fix everything, this is the story of the day. It is unreal to me. So these experts, the people who are going to fix all your problems, right? They're going to hit that magic button. All the problems are going to be fixed. It's going to be incredible. Pete Buttigieg is the Secretary of Transportation. We are currently having, in the United States, the worst shipping crisis in my lifetime. And I'm nearly 40 years old. This is the worst shipping crisis we've had in the United States in my lifetime. The Secretary of Transportation, you might think, might have some things to do, right? I mean, we've had this shipping bottleneck. It's been ongoing in the United States since the summer. You might think that the Secretary of Transportation would be necessary. Pete Buttigieg was on paternity leave since August. Hey, Politico is now reporting that Pete Buttigieg was just gone. Okay, and no one noticed. That's how important Pete Buttigieg is. I mean, while he was waxing philosophic about the beauty of the smells of the airport, Pete Buttigieg was actually spending the last 2 months, this brilliant young mind from South Bend, Indiana, who couldn't fill a damn pothole over there. Pete Buttigieg has been home with his husband, Chasen, and their two children. And, yeah, that's great. So that's exciting stuff. He's just been gone for 2 months and no one noticed, which means that he is a complete useless person. I mean, I have a question for you. If you just went MIA for 2 months, right? You just went MIA, didn't bother to replace you. Nobody bothered to tell anybody. You just went MIA. How long do you think you would keep your job? This means that your job is more vital than Pete Buttigieg's. By the way, according to internal Democratic polling, he seconds only to Kamala Harris in terms of who the Democrats want to see run for president again. A man so useless that he took 2 months off in the middle of a shipping crisis as the head of the Department of Transportation to be home with two babies. That's again, nothing against paternity leave, although I will say I think 2 months is a very long time for paternity leave, especially when there's no physical recovery involved. But with that said, if you're going to take paternity leave, and you're in a real important job, and you're a public servant, shouldn't like somebody know about it? According to Politico, they didn't previously announce it, but Buttigieg's office told West Wing Playbook the secretary has actually been on paid leave since mid-August to spend time with his husband, Chasen, and their two newborn babies. A spokesperson for the Department of Transportation said, quote, For the first 4 weeks, he was mostly offline except for major agency decisions and matters that could not be delegated. He's been ramping up activities since then. As he does that, Buttigieg will continue to take some time over the coming weeks to support his husband and take care of his new children, the spokesperson added. Amazing. Amazing. These are the people we need in charge. They're going to fix everything. They're so good at that they just went completely AWOL for 2 months and no one even noticed they weren't. This is Office Space now. It's Ron Livingston from Office Space. Right? I'm not going to quit. I'm just not going to work anymore. I think I'm done working. What is it that you say you do here exactly? Okay, but here's the thing. Democrats are just going to continue to pretend that nothing bad is happening. It's truly incredible. So former Treasury Secretary Warren Summers, right, Larry Summers, who's the Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, he points out that we are now in a very serious economic position. We have massive inflation. It is now permanent or semi-permanent. We have a serious shipping bottleneck that is not going to be solved anytime soon. We have millions of workers who are quitting the workforce. 4.3 million workers left the workforce last month. And here is Larry Summers pointing out this is all kind of serious, is it not?
In the 60s, we saw, before there were any adverse supply shocks, we saw inflation move from having a one handle in 1966 to having a six handle by 1969. And we've got much larger budget deficits today than we did then. We've got much more in the way of supply bottlenecks emerging much sooner than we did then. So I think we're looking at a very serious kind of situation.
Meanwhile, the CEO of Morgan Stanley says, yeah, remember all those times they kept telling you over and over that inflation was transitory, it was going to go away soon? Joe Biden's been saying that for months. James Gorman, the CEO and chairman of Morgan Stanley, is like, yeah, not so much.
I'm not a buyer of this story that it's all transitory, the inflation story. It's not transitory. I mean, wage inflation is real, and the supply chain interruptions, and you were talking about some of the natural gas and other things, have clearly been real. Some of that is temporary, but not all of it. So I think we're in a period where inflation is going to tick up.
Yep. Okay, but here's the thing. According to this administration, this isn't a big deal. These are high-class problems. So Jason Furman, who is some sort of a reporter slash commentator, he said most of the economic problems we're facing, inflation, supply chains, etc., are high-class problems. We wouldn't have had them if the unemployment rate was still 10%. We would instead have had a much worse problem. And Ron Klain, who is the White House chief of staff, and he spends all day on Twitter. Remember that time that Trump was bad because he was on Twitter all day? So Ron Klain, who's on Twitter like all day long, like all day, he tweets this, meaning he agrees with this. So he agrees that inflation and supply chain problems are, quote unquote, high class problems. Right? These are good problems. It's a good problem that you're paying like a crap load of money at the store for basic goods. It's a great problem that you can't get Christmas presents for your kids. And these are great problems to have, aren't they? Because the alternative, apparently, according to this administration, the only two alternatives are one, 10% unemployment, and two, massive inflation and supply chain bottlenecks. Or alternatively, your policy created the problems. Your policy is creating these problems. So Jen Psaki was asked about this, and honestly, she's the night nurse for this administration. They crap the bed. She tries to clean it up. I kind of feel bad for her, except she volunteered into the job. Here's Jen Psaki.
So Jason Furman, of course, is more than capable of speaking or tweeting for himself, obviously, and providing any additional context. But what the point is here is that we are at this point because we've made progress in the economy. And what would be worse, in our view, is if the unemployment rate was at 10%, people were out of work, hundreds of thousands of people were still dying of COVID, and people weren't able to lose their homes. So that's the full context.
Oh, good. Full context. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that she's now provided the full context. It turns out that Democrats can always claim that the alternative is complete destruction of all that is good, as opposed to, you know, the mostly destruction of all that is good that is happening right now. In a second, I want to get to the underlying rationale for why so many Democrats seem pretty sanguine about all this. Because for most people who are out there, it makes a difference if they're paying higher bills. For most people who are out there, it makes a difference if they are losing in terms of real wages. For most people out there, it matters if they can get Christmas presents for their kids. Like, this stuff tends to matter to people. So why are Democrats so sanguine about it? So one of the big questions here is why Democrats feel so unbelievably sanguine about all of this bad economic news. It goes to something deeper. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
C
Susan. It's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon. Cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months I make $200 to $300.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code WORK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WORK.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So a lot of Democrats seem pretty sanguine about the bad economic news, about millions of workers staying out of the workforce. There's a reason why. And maybe the reason is they're happy to transform work. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal today talking about scarcity of labor. It says 4.3 million workers are missing. Where did they go? Scarce labor is becoming a fixture of the U.S. economy, reshaping the workforce, prodding firms to adapt by raising wages, reinventing services, and investing in automation. More than a year and a half into the pandemic, the U.S. is still missing around 4.3 million workers. That's how much bigger the labor force would be if the participation rate, the share of the population 16 or older, either working or looking for work, returned to its February 2020 level of 63.3%. In September, it was just 61.6%. The absence comes as U.S. employers are struggling to fill more than 10 million job openings and meet soaring consumer demand. In another sign of how tight the labor market is, jobless claims fell to 293,000 last week, the first time since the pandemic began that they fell below 300,000, according to the Labor Department. Workers are quitting at or near the highest rates on record in sectors such as manufacturing, retail, trade, transportation, and utilities, as well as professional and business services. Participation has fallen broadly across demographic groups and career fields, but has dropped particularly fast among women, workers without a college degree, and those in low-paying service industries like hotels, restaurants, and childcare. Many economists expected that people would come back to work, but some economists are concerned that worsening worker shortages reflect longer-term shifts, such as the pandemic-driven acceleration of retirements that will not reverse. Many expect the labor shortage to last at least several more years. Some say it's permanent. Of the 52 economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal, 22 predicted participation would never return to its pre-pandemic levels. So where exactly are all of these people going? Well, many of them are either going back home. Goldman Sachs said in a note this month that enhanced unemployment benefits have likely contributed to the shortage. When the pandemic began, Jesse Stromach was a senior engineering manager at a small software firm in Portland, Oregon, supervising a couple dozen employees. In the pandemic, there were a lot of challenges in our business I was called upon to deal with, said Stromach. Just tapping that button all the time is really tiring. The birth of his son last November added to his doubts about whether the job's rewards were worth the sacrifices. He initially looked for other opportunities. When a friend suggested he take time off entirely, Stromach was intrigued. Is that even a thing you can do in capitalism, he recalls thinking. His wife, a nurse midwife, supported the move. The federal government has allowed borrowers like his wife to suspend student loan payments through January 2022. The couple also refied their mortgage at a lower interest rate. Okay, so this is all government policy now. Those adjustments have saved around $2,000 a month. Stromach's plan 3 months off has now stretched to 5 months and might last until the end of the year. 2 years ago, I was thinking I want to get as high as I can on the corporate ladder, he said. It just interests me less now if it comes with the sacrifice to my mental health and my connection with my family. Employers are overhauling their business models to adjust for the labor shortages. Okay, bottom line is this. People look at the way the Democrats are running things, and they believe, in their heart of hearts, apparently, that there will never be a cost to this. Paul Krugman, for one, is celebrating this, as the Keynesian he is. He says, it's not surprising many workers are either quitting or reluctant to return to their old jobs. The harder question is, why now? Many Americans hated their jobs 2 years ago, but they didn't act on those feelings as much as they are now. What changed? Well, it's only speculation, but it seems quite possible the pandemic, by upending many Americans' lives, also caused some of them to reconsider their life choices. Not everyone can afford to quit a hated job, but a significant number of workers seem ready to accept the risk of trying something different. Except that, if you look statistically, the people who are not going back to work are people who are at the lower end of the economic spectrum, not people who are middle class and upper end. But according to Krugman, this is a good thing. He says, while this new choosiness by workers who feel empowered is making consumers and business owners' lives more difficult, let's be clear. Overall, it's a good thing. American workers are insisting on a better deal. It's in the nation's interest. They get it. A good thing for whom? Prices have been skyrocketing because of lack of labor. The people who are working are getting raises, but those raises are not commensurate with the inflation rates. Meanwhile, we have to blow out the debt to keep up with the price-adjusted increases for mandatory programs like Social Security. There's a fascinating article in The Nation, which, of course, is a far-left source, by a guy named Aaron Benenav, called Making a Living, The History of What We Call Work. And he really kind of spills the beans on what it is that the left would like here. What the left would like is to change your consuming habits so that you are satisfied with less and so we can redistribute everything in the way that the left would like. What they want is economic stagnation and redistribution. That is the goal of the left at this point. They want to, they see work as an inherent bad. And there's a belief in the minds of the left about human nature. And that belief is that if you are freed from the predations of work, all work being a form of exploitation, if you are freed from the predations of work, you will become a poet and an artist. You remember Nancy Pelosi actually said this. And then maybe you'd be able to wander around and create art and poetry, because that's exactly what people typically on welfare do. I mean, if you've ever looked at the crowd of people creating great art, great poetry in this country, it is predominantly coming from people who are requiring government benefits. Those are the people who are just the heart and soul of creativity and innovation in the United States. So according to this author in The Nation, he's writing about a book called Work, A Deep History from the Stone Age to the Age of Robots, by an anthropologist named James Suzman. Okay, and the basic idea of this book is that for the vast majority of human history, human beings have lived as hunter-gatherers on diets consisting of fruits, vegetables, nuts, insects, fish, and game. Okay, according to the book, fire predigests food. When you roast the flesh of a woolly mammoth, the process yields significantly more calories than if the food was left uncooked. Mastering fire thus made for a radical increase in humanity's free time, because early humans were able to get more out of the food that they had, and therefore they had a lot of free time. According to that author, free time subsequently shaped our species' cultural evolution. Leisure afforded long periods of hanging around with others, which led to the development of language, storytelling, and the arts. Human beings also gained the capacity to care for those who were too old to feed for themselves, a trait we share with few other species. So again, the idea is that we should be more like the hunter-gatherers. Right? We should abandon the way that we see production entirely, and instead we should aim for a system in which we basically do the subsistence minimum, and we can spend the rest of our time hanging out and partying and having ourselves a good time. Now, the question is why that hasn't happened, right? So one of the questions is why, if that's true, if human beings just want to basically cover their basic needs and then move on with their lives and hang out and party, why aren't more humans doing this? The answer for the left is that you have all been corrupted by the capitalist system, which makes you want things. And because you want things, This leads you to the chaining of yourself to the machine. You chain yourself to the work. Like, this is the direct opposite of sort of the Randian approach to work. The Ayn Randian approach to work is that work is an outgrowth of your creative function. And when you do creative things, what you're actually doing is fulfilling yourself, which is true for a huge number of people who work. Work gives people purpose. Work is not a bad thing. But the left sees work as a bad thing. They believe that if you had more leisure time, what you'd really be spending that doing is stuff that doesn't, you wouldn't take drugs. You wouldn't get addicted to alcohol. Unemployment would come with just vast benefits. So that is why so many people seem pretty sanguine about the high rates of people dropping out of the economy. It's actually creating the utopia they see, which is some people work a lot of hours and really hard to produce for everybody else. And then we redistribute all the gains. Right? Now, some people see that as a violation of liberty principles. Some people see that, as I do, as a violation of basic human nature, which is that people need to work. It is good for people to work. Work is not a bad thing. And the notion that people expend extra leisure time in the most glorious of pursuits is generally untrue. Right? There is truth to the old saying that idle hands are the devil's workshop. But according to the left, that's not right. Right? Capitalism is bad because work is bad. And therefore, what we really need to do is grab the gains of capitalism and redistribute them across society. So we should be cheering when people drop out of the workforce. We should be happy. And if you're feeling a little bit bad because inflation is up and because you have to pay a little bit more, understand that this is all in pursuit of a higher goal. This is all in pursuit of a higher end. And that higher end is a utopian system in which all of our basic needs are provided for and we can sit around the campfire and hang out with one another. It is heaven on earth. All it will require is for you to give up your liberty to actually choose the things you want. All it's going to cost you is a worse lifestyle in the here and now, fewer choices for your family, and a complete monopoly on how you live your life by the people who know best. Who, by the way, are so useless that they can go on vacation for 2 months and nobody even notices. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Health officials setting the stage for a national COVID vaccination campaign for younger children. Ben Thomas reports.
Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine is currently being given to people as young as 12. Over the next 3 weeks, federal officials will discuss making smaller dose versions available to children ages 5 to 11. States can pre-order doses starting next week. To help them prepare, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has sent out a 7-page planning guide. It notes pharmacies can give COVID-19 shots to children, but clarifies that only doses prepared and packaged specifically for children are to be used. It does not speak to some thornier questions, such as how much school-based clinics should be relied on, or whether kids should be required to get vaccinated to attend school in person. I'm Ben Thomas.
Also at townhall.com, Senator Elizabeth Warren calling for the breakup of Amazon over reports the company has been abusing its monopoly power overseas.
Warren called a Reuters report the company was creating knockoff products and manipulating searches in India proof that, quote, the company is willing and able to rig its platform to benefit its bottom line while stiffing small businesses and entrepreneurs. Reuters also reports Amazon studied proprietary information about other brands on its platform to replicate those products. Founder and CEO Jeff Bezos told Congress just last year, the company has a policy against that, but in his words, I can't guarantee you that that policy has never been violated. Bob Agner reporting.
Firefighters making progress now in stopping a wildfire in the coastal mountains of Southern California. That blaze west of Santa Barbara has grown slightly. Elsewhere, there are red flag warnings for extreme fire danger in Los Angeles and Ventura counties because of gusty winds and low humidity. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the 3-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Average long-term mortgage rates jumping.
Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate for a 30-year mortgage rose to 3.05% from 2.99% last week. That's the highest level since April, when it peaked at 3.18%. The rate for a 15-year loan rose to 2.30% from 2.23% last week. The increase in mortgage rates comes amid continued inflation pressures. John Scott reporting.
Well, more than 1,000 people marching. They're outraged over ongoing power outages throughout Puerto Rico, marching to decry how the lack of electricity has affected their health, their work, and in many cases the schooling of their children, many of those demanding the ouster of LUMA. LUMA's a private company that took over the island's transmission and distribution of power on the 1st of June. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Nippon Steel is suing Toyota over a patent for technology used in electric motors.
It's a rare case of legal wrangling between Japan's top steelmaker and automaker over intellectual property. Nippon Steel filed the lawsuit in Tokyo District Court demanding compensation for damages totaling $177 million. Also named in the lawsuit is Bao Steel, a Chinese steelmaker.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Bill Clinton is said to be recovering from a urological infection in a California hospital. An aide says the former president has an infection that spread to his bloodstream but never did go into septic shock. Said to be doing very well now. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow was up 382 points. NASDAQ gained 74. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
So a lot of people have asked, isn't something better than nothing? And the answer, quite simply, is no.
Well, you know, that's one way to look at it. Rather pessimistic. That was the apocalyptic Pramila Jayapal. Is it Pramila or Pramila? Is it Kamala or Kamala? Kamala? Kamala ma ding dong. Hey, it's Friday, and that, you know, that can't be bad. What is happening? Got a lot of crazy people out there, don't we? Lots of crazy people. And it seems like a lot of them run for office. How about that Terry McAuliffe guy in Virginia? He's just terrible. What a terrible person. What a buffoon. I think buffoon is a pretty good word for him. After that, that verbal assault on the reporter that asked him about schools while he just bulldozed his way arrogantly, buffaloed his way through.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Exactly right. Precisely right. Well, happy Friday and welcome. We are, as you might expect, at 888-630-9625. We like to keep that more or less the same. It's easier that way for everyone. I have to, you know, memorize new phone numbers all the time. Now, occasionally I screw this one up. 888-630-9625 is the telephone number. And once again, my cup runneth over with the wackiness of the Democrat Party. You see, they had a little riot at the Interior Department yesterday. Leftists, it was an insurrection, technically speaking, if you go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, which I often do. It was an insurrection, another left-wing insurrection with crazy people banging drums and stuff. They're always banging drums, aren't they? Lefties, and it doesn't, these are Native Americans. But lefties bang drums in Central Park. They bang drums on the mall. Just lefties. They get those, you know, plastic barrels from Home Depot and bang on those on the sidewalks on 14th Street and 18th Street. And drums, you know. Got a troublemaker. Give them a drum, I guess. Lots of drums. They had these people with drums. And then they attacked the police. Police were injured, at least one hospitalized. Because, you know, they have a list of demands. Many demands. And they want, you know, lots of acres of land. They want America to stop being America. It's the left. What was it Angela said yesterday? This is Marxism wrapped in black skin. This is Marxism wrapped in Native American skin, is what we saw yesterday at the Department of the Interior. The Interior Department. You can call it either. It's one or the other. And they... They're crazy people. And again, they have a list of demands, a long list of demands, because they want stuff. Generally speaking, it's your stuff, because they're the left, and they're, I think, mostly lazy. Otherwise, they'd go out and they'd get the stuff for themselves like the rest of us. They'd get up early and go to work. What time did you get up this morning, Michael? 5:30. 5:30? It's a slug. I got up at 4:15. What's the matter with you? I didn't mean to, but I did. I got up real early. You know, but gave me a head start on things. Gave me more time to go collect food, you know, for the village. Yeah, just great. So they attacked the Justice Department yesterday. Police were injured. Tasers were used. And, of course, the whining left-wing Marxist radical numbskulls blame everybody but themselves, because, don't you know? You know what they're all about. Crazy, crazy people. So we got that. And again, police injured. And the news media, they don't cover this because they're left-wing mobs attacking the police. They wanted to do a sit-in at the Interior Department because, you know, they have a list of demands. Oh, listen to this. Sounds like Lawrence of Arabia. You know? They're doing odulations. Riding through the canyons in Lawrence of Arabia, you know you're about to be attacked when you hear the odulations. And they're yelling for medics. Medics! It's like, you know, it's like an episode of Combat with Vic Morrow. Medic! Medic! They're yelling for medics because they're being injured because they're attacking the police, and the police are strong, brave men. And the leftists are a violent mob of smelly rabble. The list of demands. That was not at the Interior Department. That actually was Lawrence of Arabia. They were attacking the Turkish troop train, if I remember correctly. And no prisoners. He ordered no prisoners. Yeah, it's also National Police Week. This has got to produce a lot of anxiety for Democrats. National Police Week, it had to be put off because of the communist virus, because the communists were playing with germ warfare. And oops, they had a little accident. And so millions are dead, because that's what communists do. But it is National Police Week. It had to be postponed because of the WHO. And now this week is National Police Week. And in Washington, D.C., Victor was out and about in his neighborhood last night and was, as you might, you know, young man. He was he's a man about town. He was going to establishments that serve food and drink. And there were a lot of police in the neighborhood, he said. So naturally, I asked if there was any gunplay in the neighborhood.
Pigs in a blanket, brown light blanket, pigs in a blanket, brown light blanket, pigs in a blanket.
That is actually, that's actually the Democrat Party's official position on this, too. That's a plank in their platform. Yeah, but it is National Police Week. Normally a big thing in Washington. I think a little smaller than usual this year. I could be wrong. But National Police Week, and police from all over the world, not just all over the country, but from all over the world, come into Washington, D.C., and names at the Law Enforcement Memorial, names of police officers murdered and killed in the line of duty, typically by Democrats, are etched into the wall. There's a stone memorial down close to courthouses and things, close to the mall, and it's a nice memorial. And the police go there for the official unveiling of the new names. And we've got, I think, a record number of new names because more police are being killed than ever. You know, the Democrats have been waging war against the police since Barack Obama declared that war and all that good stuff. And then the crazy people attacking the Interior Department and all of that. Now, we've also got a lot of other stuff, as you might imagine, to get to. The Joe Biden Justice Department has, remember Andrew McCabe, the FBI official that was caught busted for lying to the FBI about the investigation, which was a crooked and corrupt investigation using Hillary Clinton's opposition research and pretending it was legitimate intelligence. Remember J. Edgar Comey was pawning this stuff off at the FISA courts as legitimate intelligence to get warrants to spy on President Trump's friends and his inner circle, and they were all illegal warrants, but that's okay. There are no congressional investigations into that, no media investigations into that, no 60 Minutes story on that, none of that. But Andrew McCabe, who apologized for lying to the FBI, and he was leaking to the press, Wall Street Journal, and lying, and it's basically under oath. Remember they tried to put General Flynn in prison. The Democrats did, because the left always tries to imprison their political enemies. General Flynn, three-star general, career Army officer, director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, among other credentials. And the Democrats tried to ensnare him, tried to entrap him, put him in prison by sending FBI agents down to the White House. And he thought he was having a casual conversation with colleagues, but no, they were trying to entrap him. And then they said that he lied about something to the FBI when he didn't even know it was an interview. Well, and you remember J. Edgar Comey had these ridiculous things to say about it, that he wouldn't have sent the agents down there if it hadn't been Trump. And if it had been Obama in the White House, he never would have done that. But he did it anyway because he's a political hack and he was abusing his power for political reasons, J. Edgar Comey was.
So if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
You cut out the laughter. There's laughter there at the end from the audience. It's funny because we're becoming a banana republic. And you may recall the headline in the New York Post, not the Washington Post, January 2nd, 2020, Andrew McCabe said he lied to the FBI about Wall Street Journal leak, and he lied repeatedly to the FBI, and he was fired, and rightly so. Well, yesterday we learned that the FBI and the Justice Department under Joe Biden, they have, and he lost because he was fired with extreme prejudice because he lied, basically committed crimes that they tried to put General Flynn in prison for. He was fired and he lost his pension and everything. Well, yesterday, the Biden administration made him whole again because it's a team sport and they're on Team Democrat. Ex-FBI leader Andrew McCabe wins back pension in Justice Department settlement after he was fired under Trump. That's the headline from the Washington Post. He was fired for lying repeatedly to the FBI during an ongoing investigation. And, of course, he being a senior FBI leader, that should be treated as a very serious matter. He was the deputy director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He admitted to lying to agents who spent weeks investigating the source of a leak at Wall Street Journal report that actually came from him. And he lied about it and lied about it. And he knew he was lying about it. General Flynn, on the other hand, thought he was having a casual conversation and it was about talking to his counterpart in Russia, which was his job, by the way. But they tried to ensnare him and kill him. So the crooked Biden administration and the crooked Merrick Garland Justice Department reinstated his standing, his good standing with the FBI, with the lies and being fired. And now he gets his pension back and back pay. He gets all his back pay, too, because it's good to be a Democrat. They're really crooked, and it's a team sport, and they take care of their own. Bill Clinton is in the hospital. He is in California, Los Angeles, California. Bill Clinton admitted to hospital due to infection, which has led to no end of jokes. And of course, I mean, we wish Bill Clinton no harm and no ill. We want to keep Bill Clinton around for many years to come to continue mocking him and ridiculing him. And besides, that nightmare of a marriage between Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton is a constant source of amusement and entertainment for millions of people nationwide and worldwide, for that matter. Bill Clinton admitted to hospital due to infection. Former President Bill Clinton admitted to the University of California Irvine's Medical Center earlier this week. They kept it a secret for a few days, you know, due to a urinary tract infection. It's interesting how everything leads to the same place with Bill Clinton, isn't it? A urinary tract infection. I thought only ladies got urinary tract infections, but I'm not a medical doctor. That led to sepsis, you see, AIDS said Thursday. Shouldn't bring AIDS into it. It's just urinary tract infection. Clinton spokesman Angel Urena, that sounds like a urinary kind of thing too, doesn't it? Said the 75-year-old former president is being treated for non-COVID-related infection, and he's on the mend and in good spirits. We'll have to send the Energizer by to cheer him up a little bit. I get Angel Urena. Yeah, so that's her. That's the spokeswoman's name. She's probably very attractive, I'm guessing, because it's a Bill Clinton hire. So he's got a urinary tract infection and then sepsis, which is bad. And he's being treated with it really is. And he's being treated with antibiotics and they're hydrating him and stuff. Now, Juanita Broderick, who was, as you probably know, sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton long ago, Juanita Broderick has a Twitter account and a sense of humor. And I've met Juanita Broderick, and you know, she's a lovely woman, a very pleasant woman. And Juanita Broderick tweeted out last night, she said, "They say it's sepsis, but I think they misspelled syphilis." They say it's sepsis, but I think they misspelled syphilis, you see. A little bit of humor from Juanita Broderick. Yes, she retweeted the Fox News tweet, "Bill Clinton hospitalized with an infection." And Juanita Broderick opined, she commented, she quipped, "They say it's sepsis, but I think they misspelled syphilis, syphilis." We're at 888-630-9625. Joe Biden, trending on Twitter, Empty Shelves Joe, Empty Shelves Joe. We got food shortages, fuel shortages. We've got a looming disaster in Chicago because of COVID vaccine mandates. The TSA, Thanksgiving is coming. If you're thinking about traveling, you might want to think about using the car with the more expensive gas, thanks to Joe Biden. Because thanks to Joe Biden, airports may be a nightmare. That's all coming up. 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Make your dream a reality. Build wealth for what matters to you. You can buy your dream home. Get investmentadvice.com. Give your child a great education. Get investmentadvice.com. Save for retirement. Get investmentadvice.com. It's easy. Get investmentadvice.com can help you reach your goals. Their innovative investment and financial solutions can assist you in managing your money to build a better future. Visit getinvestmentadvice.com to get started today. That's getinvestmentadvice.com. Paid for by IP Financial Advisory Services, LLC.
Napa Know How. At Napa, buy a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 motor oil and save $10 on a pair of wiper blades. It's the perfect autumn deal. Mobil 1 for colder weather, new wipers for the rain, and an extra $10 to buy Halloween candy you'll most likely eat yourself. We're not judging.
Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating locations, does not include taxes and fees. Advertised sale price not available in some states. Ends 10/31/21.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-613-7996. That's 800-613-7996. 800-613-7996. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
If you're tired of big cable bills and want to cut the cord, you can still get Newsmax TV for free. Millions of Americans like you are watching Newsmax. It's available on all major cable systems, or get it free on major streaming platforms. Watch Newsmax on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and more. Find Newsmax on your hub guide or use the TV app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, TiVo, Apple TV, Chromecast, and more. More than 7 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphones. There's no paywall or subscription, so watch Newsmax anytime, anywhere. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. And watch great shows with Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Rob Schmidt, Diamond and Silk, Stinchfield, and a lot more. Find out why America is tuning in to Newsmax TV, the fastest-growing cable news channel. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
Do you take a lot of medicine or take care of someone that does? Hero is the new smart device that makes life easier by pre-sorting a 90-day supply of up to 10 different pills. Just pour them in and Hero does the rest.
So easy to use and saves me so much time. I never miss a dose. I'm never late for a dose anymore. And that is so critical to me.
What I like best about my Hero is that it's so easy to set up and it's so easy to use. And I don't have to worry about my pills or get distracted and forget, did I take that pill or not? Because it reminds me.
It alerts and dispenses with the push of a button. Plus, Hero sends a friendly alert to you and a caregiver.
Hero is amazing, but you could even live out of state with the person and still program their Hero from the convenience of your phone.
I feel better than I have ever felt simply because I have this device.
Try Hero risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it.
Call 800-608-9432. That's 800-608-9432. 800-608-9432. Call now.
Paid for by Hero Health Incorporated.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Joe Biden, well, it was just yesterday. It seems like just yesterday that we pointed out that Joe Biden, who hasn't had a cabinet meeting since July. Of course, Pete Buttigieg is on paternity leave for 3 months or something. It's his first year with the job. You know, he's not the mayor of South Bend, Indiana anymore. There's a national transportation crisis going on. And Pete Buttigieg, he and his husband adopted two babies recently. I assume they adopted them. But they could be menstruating people or birthing people. The party determines that sort of thing now, gender and physical capabilities, reproductive skills like that. But yeah, Pete Buttigieg, we don't know how long he's on leave for, but he's on paternity leave because, you know, the newborn baby's recovering from childbirth and all that stuff. And so he's nowhere to be found during this this transportation crisis we have going on across the country. And Joe Biden, he comes out and he reads the teleprompter a little bit, squinty eyes, looking weird, getting a lot of stuff wrong. And then he just turns his pretty head and walks away. We played this audio yesterday of Joe Biden day before yesterday coming out and speaking at the press and then not taking any questions at all.
Thank you all so very much.
Thank you all. He's just walking out. He's just gone with his arms dangling off his shoulders like they don't work. And he's bumping into stuff. And he just wandered off with his mouth hanging open, his eyes blinking. He's not there. He's not altogether home. You know that he's 8 months older than Geraldo Rivera? Geraldo Rivera, you know, could be out playing highlight today. Joe Biden should, he's not up to greeting at Walmart. Yesterday, he had another little thing where he talked at the press, and they had a fake set behind him. You see that they had another fake set behind him, but it's a different fake set that they had behind him this time, because it's all a terrible TV show. And once again, when he was done talking, he just dropped his arms to his side and went wandering off like a sea slug.
Bless you all. May God protect your troops. Thank you very much.
Workers on strike. What about the workers on strike? By the way, there are now strikes. John Deere went on strike. Thousands of workers, as Democrats call them, I might call them employees, going out on strike because we've got the strongest union president. He said the word union. Jen Psaki actually said, this is in an effort to support him, that he said the word union more than any other president. And he's only been president for not even 9 months now. Look at all the devastation that he's created. I don't know who's the bigger problem, him or the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I think they're vying for the lowest rung on the ladder. Lunch Bucket Joe.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
One 100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR,
Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Albee from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Someone pointed out to me that I allegedly have used the word union as president more than the last seven presidents combined.
That's a fascinating factoid that has nothing to do with anything. Now that there are strikes going on across the country, and again, this guy just does nothing. He's a no-show. It's like he got his son Hunter that no-show job in Ukraine, and now Joe Biden's got a no-show job in Washington. Kind of a no-show family. Front page of today's Washington Times, your newspaper of record in Washington, D.C. Above the fold, union strikes present political tests for Biden. Picket lines across U.S. grow into major threat to economic recovery. John Deere and many more. Lots and lots touching off a wave of strikes not seen in the U.S. since the 1970s. A lot of stuff going around here that we haven't seen since the 1970s. He's the reincarnation of Jimmy Carter, but with severe brain damage. Jimmy Carter was wrong about a lot of things, but he wasn't utterly brain damaged like this guy. Scores of union workers from Hollywood to the Midwest, emboldened by President Biden's boast that he's the most pro-union president in decades, have gone on strike or threatened to walk off the job. More than 100,000 are on the picket lines, and tens of thousands more could join them by the end of October, potentially touching off a strike wave not seen in the U.S. since the 1970s. The unrest in industries, including agriculture and film production, threatened to further undermine the economy wrecked by rising inflation. It also sets up a political test for Mr. Biden. He's not good at tests. Have you noticed that? He's not good at walking. He's not good at talking. He's not good at reading. He's not good at being president. He's not good at leading. He's really not good at anything. I haven't identified anything that he's good at. What's he good at? I don't know. He's president. He must be good at something. He's not really. The press is good at something. The press is good at getting an empty suit elected to the presidency. That's what they're good at. You know, we had Barack Obama. He wasn't qualified to become president of the United States. Maybe after another term or two in the Senate, he might have been. But you know, at least he was a smart guy and could string a sentence together. He went to Harvard, you know. I don't know if you're aware of that, but he did go to Harvard.
Oh, sure. He went to Harvard.
Joe Biden, on the other hand, you know, he was a guard at the swimming pool with Corn Pop and had pomade in his hair, and he called him Esther Williams, and I think that was the height of his formal education. And I'm talking about just amazing stuff. All right, let's go to the telephones. We've been talking about Joe Biden and his not holding press conferences, and he hasn't had a formal press conference in decades. It hasn't really been decades, but it seems like it. And we just don't have a press. They're just part of the Democratic Party. The White House press corps, the Washington press corps, the New York press, all part of the Democratic Party. Let's go to Philip calling from Arlington, Virginia. Philip, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Taking my call. Remember the days at the height of the pandemic when everybody was freaking out worldwide and Trump is having 90-minute long press conferences in which he's taken 45 minutes of the most hostile questions on the planet, surrounded by the Surgeon General, the Fauci, the Burks, generals, admirals. He's wielding it all, and there he is in the middle of it. And President Biden talks for 7 minutes, practically blames America, walks out the door while his transportation secretary is on a two-month hiatus. Are you kidding me? They would have roasted Trump. The Washington press corps would have burned the White House down like the British tried to in 1812.
Yep.
And they sit there supine now and do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Now, you said Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, is on paternity leave for 2 months because it's his first year on the job and there's a transportation crisis in America and he's taking months off. And it's, you say, 2 months. It's only 2 months so far. See, it's going to be longer before it's done. And the story, Politico today, the left-wing Politico based here in Washington, they've got this West Wing playbook. It's a little circle fest they have with the Democrat Party. And they their story today is about Pete Buttigieg. And the story is not about... it's, you know, Pete Buttigieg has been MIA and there's this crisis going on in the country. And the headline is, can Pete Buttigieg have it all? That's the actual headline in the story by Alex Thompson and Tina Svondels. I'm not making it up. And they've got a story on how Pete Buttigieg is MIA, how he's missing in action, how there is a transportation crisis. He's the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, and he's nowhere to be found. He sent out a tweet on Indigenous Peoples Day, or about Indigenous Peoples Day. It was actually on Columbus Day, because Christopher Columbus discovered the West and the Americas, and that changed the course of human history. But that's all he's done that anybody can find. But he and his husband, is it Chasten or Chasten? It's difficult to say for sure. They've apparently adopted, I assume, two babies. But with the Democrats these days, you know, they keep telling us men can have babies, so I'm not sure. I haven't seen the video. But they've got a story on Pete Buttigieg being MIA. Boy, is it good to be a Democrat, huh? Yeah, 120.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
So can I send, you know how in World War II the messages were sent to the resistance and in the movie Red Dawn, behind enemy lines? You know, we've got patriots in L.A., in Manhattan, in Georgetown. Can I send a couple coded messages? And I can assure you they're clean, Chris.
coded messages to the Wolverines scattered across the country.
Yeah.
The underground.
To the OSS and the French resistance fighting behind the lines. Yes, sir.
Keep it clean. But, yeah, fire away. We're free speech people here.
The first message is the Energizer Bunny is getting a rest. And the second one is, let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go. Speaking of which, just in case you don't have one yet, we have Let's Go Brandon hats at the Chris Plant store and Let's Go Brandon shirts, and it's got the Chris Plant Show logo. It's a logo, right? Got the logo on there and all that good stuff. Yeah, good stuff. Let's Go Brandon, and the Energizer Bunny is getting a rest. That's one of Bill Clinton's many side girlfriends, because he married...
Umar, they call him, Chris.
He married Hillary, and that's a real problem for... That'd be a problem for anybody, don't you think, Philip? You know, hey, wait a minute. Wolverines. The Wolverines are being called now. It's true. Philip, God bless. Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a crazy weekend. The Energizer gets a rest, and let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Were there any Let's Go Brandons last night at the baseball game? Because there was a big baseball game, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Giants, that ended on a bad call by the first base ump. Didn't look like that swing went around to me. Ended the game. Close matchup, all that stuff. I'm telling you, that's what I'm telling you.
And by the way, let's go, Brandon.
Okay, let's go, right. Brandon. Let's go. Come on, let's go, Brandon. Everybody loves Let's Go, Brandon. Well, not everybody, perhaps, but I think most normal people love Let's Go, Brandon. That's the thing with Let's Going and Brandon, don't you know? Yeah. So we do have the Remember Normal hats. We have Remember Normal hats. Somebody's got to Remember Normal. We got navy and khaki, you know, navy blue and khaki, and Chris Plant logo and Let's Go Brandon T-shirts, and so we got new stuff. You know, we're adding new stuff there at the Chris Plant store on Al Gore's amazing internet. Peace be upon him. Where would we be without Al Gore? Lonely days, lonely nights. Yeah, so Pete Buttigieg, he's on paternity leave. He has, he's the Secretary of Transportation. We have, I think, you know, maybe the biggest transportation crisis dilemma that we've had in the United States, maybe ever, certainly right up there with the historic episodes of transportation crises. And the Secretary of Transportation, who was the mayor of a city, South Bend, Indiana, that has a population smaller than the villages in Florida, and he was running for president because that makes sense. And now he's a transportation secretary, but like Joe Biden, he just doesn't have to show up for work. Because why would they have to show up for work? They don't have to show up for work. A lot of stuff to get to. Joe Biden, once again, pound sign empty shelves Joe is trending all over the amazing internet and the Twitter and all of that. Biden is ridiculed online as pound sign empty shelves Joe as frustrated shoppers complain about shortages. The shortages are because of the transportation crisis in large part, and of course, communist China playing with germ warfare and doing a bad job of it because they're communists, right? Which kind of explains everything. And now we've got empty store shelves, and we literally do, and I've been talking about it, in Washington, D.C., where they've got some generic paper products on the stands, but you can't get Bounty and Brawny and Cottonelle and all the good stuff because it's not getting to market because the left is in charge. And these people are, you know, they're not good at anything other than causing division, creating massive division. Donald Trump Jr., tweeting out last night, actually, he tweeted out something that was yikes. He tweeted out yikes to pound sign empty shelves Joe. Jack Posobiec, the wonderful Jack Posobiec, says pound sign empty shelves Joe. Just hit the number, he said, hit the number one trend nationwide, Biden's supply chain crisis. And then all kinds of great stuff on this. Jack Posobiec is wonderful. And then we have Cheryl Atkinson, the great and wonderful Cheryl Atkinson, who is, I haven't seen her in ages, in years, but she's a friend and she's wonderful. And Cheryl Atkinson, she posted photographs, three, four photographs from her neighborhood grocery, and the shelves are empty, just for the length of the row, the aisle, I guess it's an aisle, clean up on aisle Joe. And one, my grocery, Cheryl Atkinson tweeted, there's plenty of food. It's not as if we'll starve, but I've never seen empty shelves like this in my lifetime. And that's a fact, because the Democrats are wrecking everything. Would that be generous to say? I think that would be generous to say. No doubt about it. Also, we've got Chicago This weekend, wait till you hear this audio from Chicago. According to police officials in Chicago, the criminals are already renting up all of the U-Haul trucks for the looting they're planning on carrying out, when half the police force, perhaps, will stay home because of the vaccine mandates. I'm going to get to that audio and share it with you shortly. These people are just wrecking everything. It's almost as if they're doing it on purpose. Also, expect to pay more for heat this winter. Do we have a news media? If we had a news media, what would they be doing? They'd be covering the story at the docks. They'd be covering the strikes. They'd be covering the people on the ships that can't get off because they can't offload the ships. They'd be covering the ships that are opting to go through the Panama Canal to go to Florida, where Republican Senator Ron DeSantis is going to make sure that the ships are offloaded in Florida ports. They'd be covering the people that are going to lose their jobs, the nurses and the doctors that are being tossed out on their keisters after being called heroes last year by the very same people that are firing them now with extreme prejudice. And they're not even going to get unemployment benefits or severance because they're being told that they quit when they're actually being fired, because these people are basically fascists and they lie all the time about everything. And it's completely insane. If we had a news media, they'd be doing these stories, sitting down at kitchen tables with moms and dads and kids and the school problems. And now they're going to lose their jobs, the nurses and the doctors, and the police officers and the sanitation workers. And they're all about to lose their jobs because of mandates. And they may have religious objections or medical conditions or already have immunity because they've had the Wuhan out of Wuhan, China already. And the news media, if there were a Republican president in the White House, all these tearjerker stories would be everywhere. You wouldn't be able to get away from them. It'd be terrible. You'd see how terrible everything was for families. And they, you know, they like to pick one person and turn them into heroes of the campaign, like Michael Brown or, George Floyd or whatever. And they turn these people into icons. And because that's how you do it. It's like the model of, one photo, the girl in Vietnam running down the street after the napalm attack. You know, and you take one image and you turn it into a campaign. That's what they're masterful at. But now all you doctors and nurses that were heroes last year and people were putting signs in their front yards thanking you, now the same people that were pretending to praise you are firing you and taking away your severance and taking away your health care and taking away and telling you that you're quitting when actually they're firing you. My recommendation is you just keep showing up at work and make them drag you out of the place. Say, no, he quit. Yeah, she quit. That's nothing. In Alabama, schools are facing an unprecedented food shortage. They're asking the community to kick in because of the food shortages. Gas prices are through the roof. Food prices are through the roof. You can expect, again, to pay a lot more for heat this winter. And again, Republican in the White House, the news media is all over grandma sitting at the kitchen table trying to balance her checkbook and crying into her checkbook because, you know, what's she going to do this winter? Natural gas prices are skyrocketing. Propane prices are skyrocketing. Gasoline prices are skyrocketing. And if you're planning on traveling on Thanksgiving, gosh, the Democrats are going to make it a lot more difficult for you. And our news media simply doesn't show up. They don't cover it because they're not a legitimate news media. They're Democrats masquerading as a fourth estate. This is not what the founders envisioned. Our republic does not function properly without an active and properly functioning fourth estate, the news media, keeping the powerful in check. Unfortunately, there's a coalition that has been created between the information sector, the news media and Twitter and Facebook, and one party, the Democrat Party. It's a lot closer to the National Socialist model than the Soviet Socialist model. Very, very treacherous times. 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Two vaccines to help protect you this season, the flu and COVID-19.
And now you can get both shots at the same visit. Learn more at cdc.gov/vaccines.
Make your dream a reality. Build wealth for what matters to you. You can buy your dream home. GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Give your child a great education. GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Save for retirement. GetInvestmentAdvice.com. It's easy. GetInvestmentAdvice.com can help you reach your goals. Their innovative investment and financial solutions can assist you in managing your money to build a better future. Visit GetInvestmentAdvice.com to get started today. That's GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Paid for by IP Financial Advisory Services, LLC. GetInvestmentAdvice.com.
Today on Hey Culligan, sustainability and better water. Here's Sam.
Hey Culligan, I'm really into sustainability. My clothes, my utensils, my food. But how do I get more sustainability from my water?
Super question, Sam, and the answer is an always-on drinking water system from Culligan, which helps eliminate the equivalent of 15 billion single-use plastic bottles a year.
Whoa, that's a ton of sustainability.
416,000 tons, Sam, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa, we've teamed up with AAA to save you 20% online or in-store. That's why they call us the Savings Dream Team. Okay, we're the only ones calling us that. But it's true. Your AAA membership can save you 20% at Napa. So we're basically superheroes with the most specific power ever, saving you 20%. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
20% off regular retail prices with valid AAA membership card. Offer good online and participating stores. Offer ends 10/31/21.
Grammy Award winner Kacey Musgraves stars in Starcross, the film, inspired by her new album with appearances from Eugene Levy, Meg Stotler, RuPaul's Drag Race winner Simone, and more. Starcross is now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynabite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynabite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynabite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
What is Pop Earth? Pop Earth is short for Population Earth, a 501c3 nonprofit focused on providing holistic health services and options for those with special needs, including autism and other developmental disorders. Do you know someone ages 5 to 65 with a developmental disorder that could benefit from yoga, Reiki, dance, exercise, and massage therapy? These sessions help with coordination, balance, stress, and more. Learn more at popearth.org. That's popearth.org.
Thank you.
price of everything going through the roof. And our news media is just shrugging. By the way, if Republicans were in charge of the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, and all of this pandemonium were going on, empty shelves and stores, this is the Soviet Union, expect grandma to freeze to death this winter because of the skyrocketing cost of natural gas and propane and heating oil, the skyrocketing price of gasoline. We've got the skyrocketing overdoses with drugs, overdose deaths. We've got skyrocketing homicide rates. And it's amazing how none of it goes to the Democrats. The news media is, first of all, they don't cover the news at all, any of this news. And Alabama, they won't go to Alabama to cover anything, you know, unless it's like to smear the people there. Alabama schools are facing an unprecedented food shortage. School districts crippled by food supply shortages could have to return to remote learning. So their parents will be, you know, called upon to feed the kiddies at home. And go ahead and look for a 60 Minute story on this. Although we do have some 60 Minute stuff because they interviewed Robert Gates, the former defense secretary and CIA director, talking about the Afghanistan withdrawal months late, you know, but nevertheless, I got to tell you, this administration is a plane crashing into a train on a bridge, collapsing onto a school for developmentally disabled children, like Joe Biden. He's developmentally disabled, right? And this administration is a catastrophe. But you wouldn't know it by watching the news, because everything is coming up roses over there. Nary has heard a discouraging word. The skies are not cloudy all day. Just extraordinary stuff. And again, they have, well, this is, you know, the party that dominates the government. They have the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. But more importantly, they enjoy information dominance in the United States of America. So it doesn't matter how calamitous the situation is on every level, economically, in terms of foreign policy. I mean, who's he offending? Israel, France, Great Britain, the Taliban's happy with him. Russia's happy with him. Putin's happy with him. He killed the Keystone XL pipeline day one. Nice job on the border there, huh? By the way, they're bringing back the Remain in Mexico policy, which is not a tacit admission that that was a calamitous decision. It's an overt admission.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.